you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Like, I'm such a sweet girl. Like, and I'm such a good catch. And like, people think, like, I'm surfacey or whatever. But I think when it comes down to it, just, like, the truth is that, like, yeah, you know, people are mean to me, you know, sometimes when, because of the way I look, you know, and I mean, it sounds like so stupid, but like people hate me because I'm beautiful, you know, like, and that is, sounds so horrible, you know, but like, that is like a real thing, you know, and it's a curse as much as it is a blessing to be pretty. I mean, like, no matter what, like, there is a huge, like, prejudice and racist, and when it comes down to it, like, that's why, you know, this didn't work out, you know, just because, like, if I would have just been a little uglier and a little less noticeable, it's just, you know, really sad.
Oh, you.
Women are good for nothing, aren't they?
Yeah, you got that right.
Let me ask you something. What do women want? Who cares?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Now, exactly how much pot did you smoke?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Oh, yeah, drugs. You gotta have drugs.
Roll another one.
You got any weed?
Just like the other one.
I don't still sound like a pothead, do I?
This one seems to be about to quit.
How stoned are you two?
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
She even gave me a blumpkin.
Roll. Roll another one.
Marijuana is just nature's way of saying hi.
Just like the other one.
Smoke weed.
This one seems to be about.
Smoke weed.
I don't have another cent.
It's weird because she might be high.
But don't bogart that joint.
God damn it, I love pot.
Just pass it around.
I'm looking to score some drugs.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
And can.
But just pass it.
Weed, smoking weed. Who the f*** smokes weed? Weed's for f*** kids. F*** marijuana and hippies.
And now.
Now I'm looking for the bong. Now I'm finding the bong. Now I'm loading the bong. Now I'm in the bong.
Our feature presentation.
So I stopped by Dunkin' Donuts this morning to get a donut because I was running a little late. One dude in there got his head down.
Hold on. You stopped by to get a donut because you were running late?
Yeah.
Usually people don't stop someplace if they're running late.
Well, I mean, I didn't have time to eat my regular breakfast, so
I
stopped on
that. Okay.
And there's one dude in there. It's always there. And he's got his head down, sleeping. I don't know if he lives there. I don't know what the deal is. But it's just me and him and the person behind the counter. So I say, yeah, I'd like that donut, please. And all of a sudden I hear, happy birthday to you. And I turn around and it's this homeless dude, I think. Singing at the top of his lungs to me.
Happy birthday.
He doesn't even know me.
He guessed it was your birthday because you were buying a donut?
And then he mumbled when he got to my name.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday.
Just sung it like he was in front of Dodger Stadium. And then put his head back down and went to sleep.
Sweet.
I have no idea why, but I love him.
He works like a greeter at Walmart or something. Maybe that's his job, is to make the customers feel important.
He just sings happy birthday to everybody?
I don't know. But I'm telling you, you got to go back in there.
Yeah.
The K-Rock microphones, find out what's up with him.
That was unbelievable. It's one of those things where when it's happening, you can't really fully grasp it. You're just trying to figure out, is he singing to me?
Did you say anything to him?
No, I was too baffled.
Mm.
I thought, well, maybe he knows the person working here. You know, and maybe he's singing to her, but he was looking right at me the whole time.
Asshole.
Oh, he's just trying to be nice. That's an interesting start to a day right there.
Yes, it is. Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show, and it is Friday the 26th. Ready?
Yeah.
The 26th of September.
Yeah.
You
want to
do it again?
Yeah, let me do it.
Yeah, I think we better.
Because I started getting into the date, and Mike was sleeping on the floor behind me, so I knew that wasn't good. So then when he got ready, then I screwed it up. All right, let's try it again. It's Friday, the 26th of September.
Anna.
Giggity, giggity.
Yes.
What? Checkity, check. In the hizzy. What? Hola.
That is not sexy, but okay.
Oh, half those aren't sexy, by the way. Good old lady.
We may have to get our friend the P on the phone today, Petros, because he may be the only American I know who can explain how a team like the USC Trojans, one of the best football teams in the history of college football,
ranked number one right now.
I'm sorry.
Ranked number one last night.
Could go into a school that they are favored to beat by, I think the line was 25, maybe. Maybe it was 20, around 25 is what the line was on the game last night.
Those of you that don't bet, anything over one touchdown, 7 points, anything over that is really pretty dominating.
Yes.
25 yes. points.
25. And what that means, if you're not a sports fan, meaning that you could have given Oregon State 25 points to start the game before kickoff, and the Trojans still would have beat them. That's what people thought would happen last night.
Yeah.
And they not only lost, the Trojans not only lost the game, but they were down 21-0 at halftime.
Yep.
Explain, I mean, I know that's the beauty of sports, and I know the old cliche is that's why they play the games, because it's one thing on paper, but it's another thing in real life. And on any given day, any team is capable of beating any team because they're all good players, right?
Right.
But that just doesn't happen.
Yeah, not
something like last night almost never happens.
Yeah. Yeah, it was bizarre.
And they got the Rodgers brothers over there at Oregon State, one of whose name is Jacquizz. His name is spelled Jacquizz. That's his first name.
That's the best name I've ever heard.
Unless his parents were strictly all about the Scrabble, which I doubt, there's no excuse to give a kid a name with a Q and two Z's.
Why do you doubt that?
Just seems unlikely. Okay. Very few people are named based on how many points their name would be in Scrabble.
All right.
Jacquizz is his name. Which I don't know if that's how he pronounces it or not, but...
Wow.
Jacquizz. Anyway. So I don't know. We may have to talk to the P and find out what happened, because I didn't see all of the game, but I can't put my arms around that one. I can't figure that one out.
You put your arms around a game? Is that how it works? I was playing poker last night when the game was on, and everybody was just start yelling, and they all, of course, had theoretical money on USC because that was a lock, and they were not happy. I mean, it really was a destruction. The first half, they just 21-0.
Yeah, you don't see that.
That's tough to come back from.
I mean, it doesn't mean, and this is one of the reasons I want to talk to Petros, it doesn't mean they can't still, you know, win at all. I mean,
right. You
know, you can lose a game, but it's sure not going to help them.
It also doesn't help, you know, they're ranked number one. You know, maybe they get beat by the eighth ranked team. I don't think Oregon State's even ranked.
Yeah, I don't think they are.
So that's not good.
And USC has already beaten really good teams, you know, like Ohio State and people like that this year. So it's easy to look past a team like this, and maybe that's part of the problem. I don't know.
Yeah, could be.
But it was good times.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday morning. That means Ralph has the movie beat.
Great movies opening up today, too, by the way.
What do we got?
What do we have? The Choke is this weekend.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that.
The Eagle Eye is this weekend.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that.
Which is another one that looks super good. And there's two or three others that look like they might be real good. I think the Spike Lee one maybe is opening up this weekend.
Hey.
His war movie.
Oh, that looks good, too.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff coming out.
Seth MacFarlane will be on the program today.
Yeah.
One of our heroes. Does Family Guy and American Dad, and they have their season premieres, I believe, on Sunday night.
Yep.
So we're going to talk to him about that. He's the best. We have a model, American Gladiator, MMA fighter, Gina Carano on the program today. Why does that make you mad?
Oh, it makes me happy.
Oh, happy. Okay. We're going to try and get to the bottom of Psycho Mike's latest charity event, because we spent about, I don't know, 12, 13 minutes in the office yesterday trying to figure out what it is and why it is. And we don't know. It's the most confusing thing ever.
Well, Psycho Mike doesn't take on something unless there's a hey, look at me factor involved, which this has. But we can't, I mean, we expect that. I mean, there's lots of different ways to do charity that are easy to understand. He's not, you know, he's not walking and you pledge money for breast cancer. It's nothing like, it's nothing as simple as that. He's doing something that's not a competition, but it involves him without a shirt. I don't really understand what it's all about, but I guess he'll try to explain it. And other people are involved somehow.
Some kind of weightlifting and running and biking, and then you have to swim the English Channel. And
yeah.
And it's, but it's called Fight Gone Bad. And
but there's no fighting?
There's no fighting.
At one point, you have to lift a car over your head, I think, is part of it. I don't get it.
I'm not sure Mike understands himself. I think there's probably somebody out there that knows it quite clearly. Clearly.
Well, Mike is the quite clearly.
He's a homo.
Oh. Yeah, yes, that's true. And today's the last day we're going to be working in the studio. So that's going to be fun. We have a dude from CSI who is going to bring in a black light. We want to see, you know, they've done, you've seen these TV shows, the news shows, go into hotel rooms with the black light. And then they show you all of the stains and you go, okay, never going to stay there again.
I think that that special, and I think it was a 2020 show from a few years ago, I think that special probably changed the way people use hotel rooms more, I mean, more than anything else ever.
Yep.
I know it did me. I know you've talked about it. You took note of that, and none of us sit on the bedspread anymore. I'll tell you that.
When we check in, my wife pulls the bedspread off.
I do too.
Just discard that.
I do the same thing.
Yeah. So that's good times.
I can't imagine what's going on in our studio when you think about the people that work at K-Rock and their visitors after hours. When you think about all of them. When you think about. Well, I'm thinking about, I don't want to name any
names.
We have a couple of people at K-Rock that may be dating that probably have a lot of free time in the studio each night. Think about what's involved there.
Rodney and Doc?
Or day. Either one, night or day.
Or day. Doesn't have to be night.
Right. Yeah, I don't think we want to know, but we really want to know.
But we have to know.
I mean, really. We're just walking around a room full of juices, and that's not what you want. That is not what you want.
You're going to have to start wearing medical gloves and a mask every day to come into that studio, I think.
That's true.
And by the way, Mike, you're laughing like you're not most of the problem.
No kidding.
Think about that. Think about Mike on the weekend shifts.
He knows what he's deposited. He knows.
He knows right where to look when that black light goes off today.
So we'll do that this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, plus another chance for you to go to Las Vegas to see the Killers. Coming up this morning, we'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Rodney, did you pick that one? Are you now selecting songs for the Kevin and Bean Show?
All right.
Is that what's going on?
Rodney on the Rock Show, 106.7, Rodney in the morning.
It's not your show, though.
All right, Joey and Dee Dee and Carl, all my Ramon buddies, they're great.
I don't think most of them are dead, and I don't think there was a Carl.
Coming up next, I'll talk to Osama bin Laden. He's got some crazy poems. I'll be talking to him. He's going to tell me all about his poetry.
Thank you very much, Rodney.
I remember when I was talking to Arthur Lee.
Please, not now.
He was writing some poems.
That's enough for right now. Thank you, Rodney.
David said to me, he wrote a poem.
Why don't you head out into the hall and we'll get back to you later. Thank you, Rodney. This morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, your last chance to board the K-Rock party plane to Vegas to see the Killers. Listen again at 7 o'clock this morning to win that trip. You know, they're only doing a handful of dates. Okay,
Las Vegas.
Appreciate you stopping by.
Las Vegas.
It's 5:48. Ralph is here with this showbiz beef. We get Rodney out of his chair. Ralph can come in and tell
us
what's going on in Hollywood.
Trying to earn a living here. Well, congratulations to Shia LaBeouf. It appears that he will not be charged with drinking and driving for the actor
that
badly injured his hand. Oh, come on. Lay off the beef.
That's true. The accident wasn't his fault.
It wasn't. Apparently, insufficient evidence is the reason they're dropping the charges.
Really?
Yes. However, his beefiness may have his license suspended thanks to his refusal to take a breathalyzer test at the scene.
Oh, I didn't know they could do that.
Yeah. That's kind of shaky, isn't it? Shouldn't you be able to refuse?
I thought that was...
That's what they recommend, right?
Yes.
They say don't do anything.
You don't need to do that. Don't worry about it.
Because by the time you get to the station and they take blood or something, it works on your behalf. But, so he is off the hook for the charges, and his legal team says they doubt he will lose his license. I anticipate, says the lawyer, that once we have the opportunity to litigate the matter at the DMV, that his license will not be suspended. Apparently, the DMV has different powers over the cops. So even the cops don't charge you with DUI. The DMV can step in and suspend your license.
That's effed up.
It is effed up. But anyway, good news for Shia LaBeouf. He is off the hook for that particular incident. So congratulations. Congratulations also to Buffy the Vampire Slayer fans. Sarah Michelle Gellar is returning to TV.
Oh, no kidding.
Great. Yeah. Variety reports that she will star in an HBO series called Wonderful Maladies.
That is a great name. Oh, wait. No, that's stupid.
Yeah. Set in New York, it will be an ensemble drama revolving around the dysfunctional lives of three adult siblings who lost their parents at a young age.
That's bullshit.
Sounds funny.
Party of three.
Sarah's character has been described as a kind of having a kind of zealous immaturity, like a drug addict with a to-do list. Apparently, she's a real type A personality. So,
okay,
get to see Sarah Michelle Gellar back on the TV. That's good, right?
Sure, it's great. Yeah, especially HBO because there's always a chance she'll take her top off.
Oh, and that'd be great. Looks like Mackenzie Phillips, the actress from One Day at a Time, who was popped at LAX for having like 9 million balloons of heroin.
That's right. They went through
stuffed
her stuff.
In her pants.
That's right.
This may be the best thing that ever happened to her, according to her sister. Her sister, Bijou Phillips, told People magazine that Mackenzie is doing wonderful since checking into rehab and claims that everyone in the family is so proud for her for getting help. So, no word yet on the legal ramifications of her incident, but apparently she's cleaned and sober for the time being.
Good.
In the midst of.
For some people, it's a wake-up call.
It is.
That arrest.
Yeah. And she was one of those people who went to rehab and then stayed clean and sober for a long, 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 long time. And then apparently just recently fell off the wagon. So hopefully she can get her life back together again.
That's so weird to me. I mean, not having ever had an addiction problem. It's so weird to me the people who quit and then 10 years go by or more. And then for whatever reason, they fall off the wagon again. It's just so bizarre, the mindset of that. But I guess it's a very powerful impulse addiction.
That's where the one day at a time thing comes from.
Yeah.
Because every day you're right there. You're right at the precipice. You never gain any distance on it. It always lingers right over your shoulder, like the sword of Damocles dangling over your head.
Okay, I'm not recognizing those words.
You looked that up.
Robin Williams had like 20-some years sober,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Recently fell off the wagon.
But how ironic that Mackenzie Phillips, of all people, would be involved in a one-day-at-a-time program.
See what he did.
Oh, Nelly.
Ew!
Speaking of being as gay, Clay Aiken's earth-shattering appearance on the cover of People magazine apparently made him a few bucks.
How?
Because he had his baby with him.
Yeah.
And apparently People magazine paid him in the neighborhood of $500,000 for the cover story and the photos of his new baby.
Wow, win-win for Clay.
Yeah, $500,000 for Clay Aiken.
Yeah,
that's a pretty good deal. Apparently OK Magazine, Us Weekly, Life and Style, and In Touch Weekly magazine all passed on the opportunity to put Clay and his new baby on their covers. So People was pretty much his last hope. What if People said, no, thanks? And he said, what if I say I'm gay?
Yeah.
While holding the baby. All right, now you're talking. Here's a check for half a mil. All right. Now that Lynn Spears is done telling her story in her tell-all book, she wrote, of course, about her experiences as the mother of a superstar, which has just got to be tough.
Sure.
Yeah. She says she can focus on what she really wants to do. Wait for it. Reunite Britney and Kevin Federline.
Oh,
yes.
God. Thank you, God.
Really?
Yep.
Yes. Yes.
According to the Seattle Post Chronicle, or San Francisco Post Chronicle, rather, Kevin Federline's ex-mother-in-law is working hard to get the couple back together. And apparently, Kevin has apologized to Britney for all the problems he caused during their marriage. Word is from this camp, he wants a fresh start and believes that Britney is the love of his life.
Running out of cash, is he?
I think so. I think maybe things are getting... I think he had a lot of money at WAMU.
That is awesome!
So maybe he's looking for to get back on the gravy train.
Plus, she's kind of hot again.
Yeah, that's true.
She's, you know, clean and sober, apparently. Is probably going to start making money again.
Good time to get back.
Yeah. Oh,
I hope so.
Wouldn't that be the best?
That would.
If Sarah Palin doesn't win her way to being a heartbeat away from the White House
this November, she
will shoot us from a helicopter with a high-powered hunting rifle. But she will also have a backup gig, thanks to my dad, Hugh Hefner.
Oh, here we go.
Hef has announced that he thinks Sarah would make an excellent centerfold for his men's magazine.
That is awesome!
And he says the offer is out there. If things don't go well for her in November, she can always hit the pages of Playboy. And I think that would be a much more appropriate place for her.
She's certainly more qualified for that.
Hey, I know that in the past you've complained that perhaps as much as you love your dad, Hugh Hefner, that not every celebrity needs to be naked.
I agree.
Sarah Palin, I think, would be all right. I wouldn't mind that.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Yeah. That's one of those things. Just the fascination factor alone would get me to open up the pages of it. Because sometimes it's like a sort of pseudo wannabe, used to be celebrity, like a C-lister. You're like, well, I'm not really interested enough to want to see her naked, and she's not really hot enough to make me want to go see her naked.
Right.
But in this particular case, that would be huge.
But don't pull any of that she's got a gun over her parts stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like when they cover up.
We want a celebrities. Gun in her parts.
No, I'm saying celebrities aren't nearly as nude as most.
That's true.
You know, they cover it up a lot better.
I don't want her draped with a moose carcass or anything.
Yeah.
I want her all natural, except for the glasses. She's got to keep the glasses on.
She looks like she's got a pretty banging body for her age, I think.
I can't tell. She looks fine.
Yeah.
I can't, you know, it's not like she's Zoftic or anything. She doesn't have giant old hoots, as far as I can see in her.
You didn't see the bikini shots with her holding the gun? Come on, man. Are you not online?
I believe those were doctored.
Oh.
That was Photoshop, I believe.
Mm.
Ah, this makes me sad. You know how much I love Jerry O'Connell, one of the sweetest guys in show business.
He's great.
We had him in just the other day, and he's a terrific guy and a fine actor, and seems to maybe have a hard time finding the ideal projects.
Uh-oh.
Fox has announced that they've pulled Do Not Disturb, his new TV series, after its third episode.
What's up with that?
Ouch.
And we'll replace it next week with an additional episode of Till Death. Ow! Jeez, you pull a needle out of my eye to put in a knitting needle.
Look, we said at the time that he was a lot better than the material on that show.
Yeah.
Jerry O'Connell. He's a good actor, but maybe not the right vehicle for him.
The network insists they haven't officially canceled the show, and they're lying. Fox has also picked up a new sitcom from Salma Hayek.
Ooh. See, now you're getting somewhere.
You know, she's become quite the little producer these days.
Yeah.
She, of course, is the executive producer behind Ugly Betty.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I would do everything to her. I would wreck that chick.
Made her a few dollars. The show is called The New McToms.
Eh?
Apparently, it's about a mother whose three children are getting married to ethnically diverse spouses.
Okay.
All right. And then what?
And then, chaos ensues because they're all different races, and you know how much races hate each other.
Hmm.
That's funny.
So there's a lot of, you're not making tortillas again tonight, are you? Like your people do? A lot of
sorry,
that kind of comedy?
No tacos for me, Pedro. But my name's Lewis. I went to Harvard. I know, but you're Mexican. See?
Stop talking at the screen. It's going to be good.
Black husband.
That show's going to be good.
Yeah, it's going to be great. And David Blaine has announced his next big stunt.
Death.
Please tell me it's retirement.
He's going to try to recreate hanging over the park, Central Park, for 60 hours. He didn't think he did it right the first time.
Boo!
This time he's going to challenge himself, though, by bringing in some hungry Mexican children looking for candy.
See?
See? There he's going to be hanging in Central Park. Oh, stop it. Today's celebrity birthdays, Serena Williams, tennis star, is 27 years old today.
Oh, she's big. She's boobs.
Big girl.
Christina Milian,
ooh,
27 years old today. Actor Jim Caviezel, who, of course, famously played Jesus in The Passion of the Christ, and then proceeded, I don't know where to go after that. I haven't seen him in a long time.
He did that movie about the hydroplanes. That was the last thing I remember him in.
What movie about the hydroplanes?
Remember that movie about the hydroplane racing that he did?
No.
That was the last thing I remember him in.
The Fast and the Wet.
Maybe that might have been what it was called.
Yeah. Beans kind of movie, though, isn't it? Hydroplane racing?
Yeah. Linda Hamilton, the original Sarah Connor from the Terminator movies, is 52 years old today. And singer-actress Olivia Newton-John, probably best known as Sandy in Grease. She's 60 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
This is a strange story. Apparently, Osama bin Laden is a poet.
You know, it's weird. When you think of Osama bin Laden, you don't necessarily think of his creative, sensitive side.
No, you
just think of his mass murdering a-hole side, and you tend to forget about the other part.
And I think of his theme song. Maybe one of the best songs ever recorded.
We are gonna get Osama and his troops
and his mama.
Yeah.
We're gonna remember what he did to the World Trade Center.
And then it goes on for about 10 hours.
This is the rallying cry that we used to send American troops into battle. His mama can't still be alive, can she?
I can't imagine.
Although John McCain's mom is still alive, so if that's possible, anything's possible.
Apparently, Osama bin Laden, during the 90s, would stand up at weddings and at different events and would read poetry or give speeches or whatever. And people wrote them all down. And then they found some tapes that they discovered in Afghanistan in 2001 that had his stuff on it. So they're going to put out a book of Osama bin Laden poetry.
Okay. All right.
Because we need that. Bin Laden is, according to this article, bin Laden is a skilled poet with clever rhymes and meters.
He's the new Eminem, apparently.
He is.
We asked producer Alex, I know this is hard to believe since the U.S. government can't find him, but she was able to get a phone number for Osama bin Laden in the cave, and we've got him on the phone with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Good morning, Osama.
Hello, bin Laden residents.
Yes, we're calling for Osama bin Laden.
Oh, yes, this is Osama bin Laden. How are you?
We are good. How are you today?
How are you, satanic Western sons of a goat?
Well, we're fine. Hey, do you have a phone number that's listed? I mean, is it easy to get you on the horn?
No, this is the satellite phone you call.
Oh, satellite.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yes, which we will destroy after using with you. You can't get me so easy.
That's how it works. Where are you right now, Osama bin Laden?
There are some mountains just in the north part of Afghanistan.
Right.
If you go up there and... Hey, hold on. Wait a second. You guys.
Almost.
You crazy DJ.
Almost got you.
You almost got me. Oh, you guys. Now I have to kill you.
Now, Osama,
please don't.
You're called in this article a warrior poet.
Yes, I am a warrior poet.
And they're going to put out a book of your poetry. Tell us what kind of poetry you do.
I've written many poems about many different subject matter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I am a creative soul. I'm a softie, basically, is what I am.
You're a softie?
Really? Oh, I'm a big teddy bear.
Really?
Yes. And, you know, I've been married 5 times.
Sure.
Yes. I have 5 wives.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. 24 children.
Wow.
I tell you, Thanksgiving dinner is crazy.
I'll bet.
But seriously, but I kid. And shut up, Omar.
You have a guy named Omar there?
Yes, one of my henchmen is named Omar.
That's the only thing that's not surprising.
Right.
So, where he should be.
Most of the poems, you know, I've read some about, you know, being a warrior poet, blah, blah, blah. But most of my poems are love poems.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes. Oh, I see. Okay.
Most of my best work, I think, captures the romantic side of Osama bin Laden.
Inspired by your 5 wives.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
They're such wonderful women.
Well, I know that
two now are missing.
What?
But we won't get
missing?
Into that. Yes.
Ooh, interesting. I know the book is not out yet, but could we trouble you for maybe a preview of some of your beautiful poetry?
Oh, please. I get so embarrassed when I try to perform my own work.
Just a little.
Stop it, you guys. You're making me blush.
Just a little bit.
Okay. Here's a poem I wrote for my second wife. And again, please keep in mind, I know you know me as a madman murderer, but... really, this is the softer side of Osama.
Okay.
Okay.
This is for my second wife. I wrote this for her. My love, you are like the desert rose at night when winds are calm. The only thing sweeter, I suppose, is a well-placed dirty bomb. You see, that won her over.
That's romance?
Yes. Oh,
really?
Oh, that won her over. I can't tell you how much she loved me after that.
I'll bet.
Well, it still seems like there's a little bit of a violent streak even in your love poems,
what?
Bin Laden. Yeah, I mean, you have to kill her? I mean, why can't it just be...
That's crazy.
Okay.
Oh, here's a poem I wrote for my fourth wife.
Okay.
This is sort of the sexy, romantic side of Osama bin Laden. Your breasts are a gift from Allah. No precious jewels cannot shine your ass. And nothing turns me on more than your tunnel of love. Except a subway tunnel filled with sarin gas. Oh, isn't that sweet?
See,
well, again.
Again, a subway tunnel filled with sarin gas.
Yes, romantic, not?
Well, no, it sounds like a lot of death.
What?
Yes, sarin gas not good for you.
Maybe something translating from the Arabic to English loses something in translation, perhaps.
I guess.
So it seems to you like we're just continuing to focus on the negative.
I think so. I think you're missing the bigger picture here, kids.
Okay, all right.
Listen, what I wrote. I wrote my own wedding vows when I got married to the fifth wife.
Is that right?
This was my wedding vow to my wife. And come on, this one has to bring a tear to your eye, I think.
Okay.
This is my best work. The sun sets over the sand dunes. Skies as red as passion's flames. The cool night air cannot chill my thoughts of you and of hacking the limbs off American pig dog infidels, gutting them with a dagger used only to slay the sickly camel, and then feeding them their own entrails until their shrieking cries of anguish are silenced only by the gurgle of the Western devil suffocating on their own tainted blood.
That is beautiful.
That always brings a tear to my eye.
That is really nice.
That was a special day, that wedding. Oh, I'm sorry, I had her killed.
What?
For nothing.
Okay.
What time's the CSI get here, by the way? What time's the black light arrive?
8 o'clock. 8 o'clock.
You'll only be able to enjoy the show between now and then.
Yeah, it's that's not going to go well.
And you're kind of a little bit of a clean freak, too.
Sort of, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, let's face it. We know who works here. And we don't want to see any fluids from anyone. So, yeah, he's going to come and do it like they do on those news specials where they, take a look at the bed sheets in a hotel and they put a black light on them and they go, wow, look at all those. Look at all that. You don't want to touch these.
Well, I think the CSI guy, and this guy, that's what he does. I mean, he's just like the guys you see on the TV show. They use this technique to solve crimes. I mean, this is where you go if you want to try to, you go to OJ's car to find out if there's, Nicole's blood in it. I mean, this is the technology that they use for that. So.
Yeah.
I think blood is going to be the least of our worries when they flip off the lights at K-Rock later. All right, it's 6:19 on the Kevin and Bean Show. It is finally Friday morning. You know, we've got the Kevin and Bean Afro line up and running 24 hours a day. It's our answering machine just for you at 323-520-AFRO.
Hey, Psycho Mike. I'm going to be Freddy Krueger for Halloween. Would you like me to get loose on your back lot? Oh.
Mike, did he answer?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Hey, you'd have to have Mike confirm this, but I've heard that the absolute surefire way for women to maintain a healthy, sexy body and, just to keep fit in general is gallons and gallons of warm, fresh man sugar.
Yep.
That true?
That is 100% true.
That's generally accepted in the medical community.
Ample scientific proof.
All right. We have a K-Rock listener, and I know you're not going to believe this because it doesn't sound like it's possible, but who collapses to the floor when she hears a word.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the strangest things we've ever seen.
Moist.
That's the word. Moist.
That's it. She's somewhere right now is writhing around on the floor.
It is, and we couldn't believe it so much we had her come in, and she has an involuntary physical reaction to that word. It's awesome. Bean, you're a smart guy. This dude needs a little help.
Hey, Bean, I'm doing this crossword puzzle, and I need your help. I need a five-letter word for a planetary outcast. It starts with P, ends with O. Wait. No, I got it. It's Pluto. Ha! You suck, Bean.
Wow. How are you going to come at me like that?
Bean is the only person that I know who has a favorite planet. I don't even have that category.
Well, I would think that Earth would be yours.
Well, I guess, but I don't since I don't have that category.
Yeah.
I mean, by default, I guess it would be.
Hey, Pluto's coming back. You mock all you want, but one day when Pluto is reinstated, there'll be a long line of apologies.
Bean loves Pluto. I don't know why. I was trying to get the dude that discovered it a stamp, and then they reassigned it as a non-planet.
It's a Plutoid.
And that destroyed him. He's not doing well.
Oh, my God. Did you guys hear who finally came out of the closet?
Yeah, it was Clay Aiken. He's on the cover of People magazine.
You're so gay, Bean.
Bean's been out for a long time. He didn't come out of any closet.
Well, don't tell my wife.
You can catch this next act at Chuckles. He's got two shows each night on the weekend.
Why is douche nozzle an insult? I'd rather be a douche nozzle than a douche bag. I mean, at least the nozzle gets to have a little bit of fun. And why is douche bag an insult? Wouldn't enema bag be... Ooh, enema nozzle. That's an insult. You don't want to be an enema nozzle. I'd rather be a douche nozzle than an enema nozzle.
2-drink minimum. Tip your waitress.
Back door, baby. Yeah!
You know, there are certain bands who have lead singers, and they have a good voice, but it's kind of in everyone else's range, and everybody else can kind of sound like them. You know what I mean? Like, just generic voices.
Okay.
Sting does not have one of those voices, and this guy should not try to do his impression of Sting.
Roxanne, you don't have to put on the white pants, but it would be cool, because I love to do you in your p***. Roxanne, put on the white pants.
Okay.
And now, for your listening enjoyment, the best band in the world.
What's going on in this world about the recession? Or it's a passion? Hey, everybody boring up. He's gonna come and get the bank bankruptcy. Homes over closure. Gas going up and down. Hey, what's going on with this recession, inflation, and market going down, up and down? Is the communist going to come and move over to us? I don't think so. We don't need the communists and the government, federal government to buy us. Hey, miniature business people, watch out. Communist is going to come and get you.
He's, if you can't understand him, he's worried about the communists.
Sure. Well, that's the Red Menace, man, is the greatest threat facing America today. We all know that. Look, I never used to think there was anything worse than the Armenian Comedians Band, except for the Armenian Comedians Band on the phone.
How dare you? This is gold, and he's not done.
Vote for no. Vote for no. No communists again in the USA.
Okay, so we're supposed to vote no on communism.
I didn't even know that was on the ballot.
I don't know when
okay.
that vote comes up, but all right.
Only San Manesh, vote for me for president.
Yes. No. Yes? Who could get us through these tough economic times more than the Armenian comedian as our president? I think we need to talk to him again. If he's running, we need to get the word out.
Well, isn't he a little late to be throwing his hat to the ring? I mean, come on. The election's in 39 days.
Is there a place to write in a vote? To write in?
I think you can.
Okay,
I think you
then.
Can do that. But I think he has to have been born in the United States, which I think may hurt Sam.
I think we need to get him on the phone and ask him about it. That's all I'm saying.
All right.
He wants us to vote no on communism, so I got that.
Okay.
And he wants to be the president of the United
States. Yes, on Sam. All right.
All right. Coming up in the next hour, we have one of the most brilliant guys in TV, honestly, Seth MacFarlane, who created
sure.
Family Guy and American Dad. The season premieres are coming up this Sunday, and we're going to talk to Seth coming up very soon. I'm very excited about that.
He got a $100 million contract, by the way, his most recent signing. $100 million. So he's
it's not enough.
He, for the entertainment that he's bringing the
right.
world. Guys, I got some bad news. You know, we've been following with sadness the health struggles of rapper Nate Dogg, who's, you know, one of the great Long Beach rappers. He's working, you know, with Dr. Dre and with Snoop Dogg for many, many years. Seems like a super good dude. Only 39 years old, by the way. Had his first stroke last December, ended up paralyzed on the left side. Was really fighting his way back. I mean, this is a guy who was making a real comeback until this week. And apparently he has suffered another stroke. I saw an interview yesterday from his cousin, Little Half Dead, who said that...
I'm sorry, wait a minute. What's his cousin's name?
Little Half Dead?
Little Half Dead? That's the best name ever.
He was talking to allhiphop.com and confirmed that Nate Dogg had a second stroke and is in pretty serious condition. But, of course, we wish him the very best.
Wait a minute. Are we taking information now from Little Half Dead?
Yes, we are.
He's the only spokesperson they can get?
It seems like he would know. I mean, the guy, he's related. He's related to Nate Dogg. But anyway, we wanted to find out how Nate is doing, so we asked producer Alex to line him up. And I believe we have him on the phone making a return appearance on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock this morning. Good morning, Nate.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm fine.
Good.
Fine.
I'm glad to hear it.
You're fine? Okay, good.
Yeah.
This is, you got to have the positive attitude, of course, but wow, what a bummer to have another stroke less than a year after the first one when you were making such good progress.
Got full wrong, don't solve me with dusting full purpose. And this
I'm sorry, I didn't get any of that.
I'm Nate
Dogg?
I'm sorry, I don't know.
What happened?
I had a nice stroke.
Oh.
What I said was, God does everything for a purpose.
God does everything for a purpose? I didn't get that. But God does everything for a purpose. I got
smoke weed every day.
That's what I hear, yeah.
That's what you're there for. Now, obviously, you need to concentrate on your health. That's the most important thing. But are you able to stay involved with music at all during this difficult time?
Oh, yeah, dog. It's easier for me to sing than it is for me to talk.
Oh, it's easier to sing than talk.
All day I'm singing, singing songs. I got hoes. I got hoes. Different area.
Nate?
Sorry. Okay.
Pick up the phone.
What happened?
Stroke.
Another stroke.
I'm sorry. Too much hot sauce and fried chicken.
Well, that's the other thing that that little half-dad reported in this article is that is your poor diet and unhealthy lifestyle that contributed to your health difficulties.
Whoop, whoop.
Hey, Nate, is Little Half Dead a credible source for us to be taking our information from?
He's a real G from Long Beach, 213%.
Represent.
Okay.
I've been remaking some of my hits.
Oh, that's what you're singing?
To try and get back on the charts.
Oh, I see. Okay.
With Dr. Dre and
Warren G?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's much easier to understand you when you sing than it is when you talk.
Crystal clear.
Okay. I have a couple songs here. Which ones are these songs?
This one's for
Is what?
Regulators.
Okay, all right.
Hit it, Steve.
The heavy side of my head is running through the powerful girls. Sure.
That's sad. That's sad.
Hey,
you don't put Dick Clark on TV on New Year's. You don't let Nate Dogg sing. Come on.
Hey, Nate.
Yeah. Good, don't it?
Well, I'm not sure that you're clearer when you sing than when you talk.
Listen to this next bomb track.
Okay, what's the next bomb track called?
Ain't
no fun?
Yeah.
Okay. Come on.
Hey. I would let the original stand. That's not an improvement. That's enough. Stop that.
Sounded good. Slightly stupid on the world famous K-Rock. 106.7 KROQ.
That's funny.
At 6:48.
Because they're slightly stupid.
Yeah.
That's Ralph Garman joining us in the studio with a look at the Showbiz Beat for a Friday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
Before I give you the latest from the beat, I want to give you a heads up that this weekend, if you don't have plans, down there in Hollywood, right next to Jimmy Kimmel's live studio where he does his TV show, is the Feast of San Gennaro.
Which is
the big Italian feast this weekend. I went last night to what they call the Prima Notte, which means first night in Italian, where they kick the whole thing off. And it is even bigger and better than it was last year. Went with the wife and had a blast. So if you got kids, they've got all kinds of rides and stuff for the kids to do. An amazing collection of Italian foods you can choose from, entertainment. It really is a fun time. And it's an outdoor festival kind of thing that you don't see a lot of in Los Angeles. And it's really a fun event. So I want to give you a heads up. If you got nothing to do this weekend. It opened last night. It'll be there tonight and Saturday night and Sunday night as well. So check it out this weekend.
Do I remember this correctly, that this is a festival that's been going on for decades or more in New York?
Yes.
And that Jimmy is kind of the one who got the ball rolling to get it started in Los Angeles? He kind of brought it here?
It was his idea, along with a gentleman named Frank Compitelli, who owns a restaurant called Frankie's on Melrose. He's an Italian restaurant, which is a great Italian restaurant. Yeah. And Jimmy used to go there all the time. They became friends. And in in concert with Adam Carolla, they decided to bring this feast, which was very popular in New York, had come over with the Italian immigrants that settled in New York City. They decided to do a Los Angeles version, and it's been going on for like 8 years now, and it's a blast. It really is a good time. So
that's the impressive thing about Jimmy. We all get ideas. He makes them happen.
That's true.
He says, it sure would be great to do this, and then the rest of us would go, yep, sure would, and we'd forget about it. But he actually goes out and puts it together, which is amazing.
And they had to celebrate. They had a big fundraising thing last night, and part of the thing was a live auction.
Okay.
And here's the thing about me.
Competitive?
I am a nut loaf when it comes to auctions.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever lost an eBay auction. I will pay $100,000 for a stick of gum if someone is bidding against me.
You have to win.
I have to win. Yeah. It's ridiculous. Remember when I bought the Bowl of Eagles cereal before the Super Bowl?
Yep.
Yes. I paid like $47,000 for an old bowl of cereal?
I do. Yeah.
Anyway, so they had this live auction. So my wife and I are sitting there. And they put up for auction a 14-day cruise to throughout Europe. You start in Venice, Italy.
Wow.
You go to Athens, Greece. You go to Croatia. You go to Barcelona. 14-day cruise. And my wife and I have been talking about traveling together for some time. We haven't been taking a trip in a long time. So she said, oh, we have to bid on that. So the bidding starts. And so I raised my hand, and the bidding starts. And Adam and Jimmy are doing the live auction, by the way.
Oh, they were hosting?
Yeah, so they see me, and they start, you know, goading me on and stuff. So anyway, we go. And I end up paying a considerable amount of money for this cruise. So we're very thrilled, and we go to get the cruise and collect it. And they say, oh, yeah, it leaves November the 14th. And we're like, so we have until the 14th to use it, or we get a year from the 14th? No, no, you're leaving November the 14th. And I said, I can't leave November the 14th. I've got a job. And so I'm not going on the cruise. My wife's going to take someone else on the only cruise throughout Europe. I will be...
She taking a black eye?
I'll be sitting at home with my dog while my wife cruises all over Europe with whoever the lucky... friend.
That is awesome.
So I spent an enormous amount of money last night on something I'm not going to be able
for
to
for charity,
enjoy.
Though.
It is for charity, so it doesn't make me feel nearly as bad, because all the money goes to a good cause. The Feast of San Gennaro is a charity. The Foundation of San Gennaro is a charitable organization, but I just thought it was funny that...
Didn't say the dates anywhere.
No, Adam and Jimmy, listen, Adam and Jimmy are not big on the details.
Well, no kidding.
So they were hyping up the prize, and they were making jokes, and it was all a good time, and I'm throwing my hand up,
and of course you won.
He wants to go on this trip, and it was a lot of fun until I realized that I will not be enjoying
the
fruits of my labor. So,
well, if your wife decides to auction off that other ticket, who gets to go with her? Please let me know, all right?
No! One thing I don't have to worry about is going on a cruise around Europe.
Yeah,
unless they stop at, you know, the largest ball of twine in Croatia, he won't be interested in getting on the boat.
But, just keep an eye on Dave, King of Mexico. That guy's been weaseling into everybody's marriages.
Wives.
He's a wife stealer. Yep. All right, it's 6:52 Friday morning. What do you got?
I have got an interesting with Megan Fox's mother.
Yes. Is she hot, too?
I have no idea.
Yep.
Okay.
Let's go with yes.
But I know that when Megan opened her heavenly mouth and let everyone know about her lesbian affair that she had with the stripper while she was a teenager.
Vagina.
Right.
A lot of people wondered what her mother might think about that.
Right.
In fact, she did herself. She said, sorry, Mom, in the middle of telling the story, remember?
Sure.
So the Palm Beach Post got a hold of Megan's mom, Darlene Tonaccio, and asked her what she thought of Meg's same-sex dabbling. Here's what she said. I love my daughter dearly, but Megan is, well, Megan. She's open and honest. She's a real person, which is refreshing. I know she has a good sense of humor, and I take this interview in that context. Is it all true? I don't know. It's possible she made it up. Just like it's possible it happened. It doesn't really matter to me.
What does that mean?
Saying that maybe she's having us on.
But maybe she isn't. I can't imagine anything could escape from Megan Fox's lips if it weren't the truth.
Yeah.
She's too hot to lie. She's too hot to lie.
Meanwhile,
Mom also added in her response to Megan's claim that she had a past on the strip club stage herself. Did you know about this?
No. Megan did?
No.
Yes.
No.
That Megan Fox was a stripper?
Yes. No, she wasn't. No.
What?
Yes.
Tell us more.
Apparently, there's a story going around that Megan did a few twirls on the pole herself when she was younger.
Nope.
And, her mom says, I doubt she did that while she was living with us. The poor child was grounded most of her life. She'd be punished for something silly, and then she'd mess up again and before her grounding period was over, so we had a tack time on. But apparently the story coincides with that era in Megan's life, and so she doesn't think that that was the case.
If Megan were a stripper, there would be so many heart attacks in the audience for people who would see her and just drop dead on the spot that it would be dangerous to keep her employed.
The story is that Megan went to a club called the Club Peekaboo when she was 16 years old.
Yes.
Her and her friend snuck in, and she got up on the stage and performed for the audience.
Oh, so it's not a... She wasn't employed.
No, she was not employed, but she did spend some time on the pole. That's the story.
And she probably didn't take off her clothes either, obviously.
Does not say here. Does not say here, but probably not.
But, yes.
So there's Mom's take on Megan Fox.
Vaginas are beautiful.
It's true.
You know how celebrities get lent fashion designer clothing to attend premieres and big events and stuff like that. A lot of the designers will fight over each other in order to get a celebrity to wear their clothing in order to publicize their clothing.
And they don't have to pay for it, right?
They do not have to pay for it. It's a loaner. Usually they send them a dress. The person wears it and then returns it to the designer.
The only thing I know about that was Britney and the dog and all that stuff. You know what I mean? Remember that one?
Yes.
Yeah.
I can beat that story.
Really?
If you are a designer, you do not want to loan your clothes to Amy Winehouse.
Oh, well, yeah. That's,
my God.
I'm sure.
That's it.
Apparently, Amy had loaned several, had been loaned several fancy dresses from Harvey Nichols department store in London, but landed herself with a $50,000 bill after she sent them back. And there was vomit on them.
Oh.
And apparently she had just thrown them in a corner somewhere in the bottom of a closet because green mold had grown all over the dresses when they were returned.
I just threw up.
Source says she was wearing one of the dresses on an all-night bender. She ended up in the bathroom where she was violently ill.
Oh.
Let's just say it wasn't pretty. She eventually couriered them back but didn't wrap them separately. So the sick had gone on all the clothes.
Oh.
Green furry mold had developed on some of the gowns.
Oh, my God.
Making them unwearable.
What's up with that?
Can't you just have them dry cleaned or something before you send them back?
You would think.
Come on.
Some of those...
she's the best.
Depending on what the clothes are made of, some of those fabrics you cannot dry clean. I mean,
how do you get them clean then? It doesn't matter. I really don't care.
You have to put them in the particle collider in Switzerland. so that's the lesson learned there. Don't lend Amy a nice dress. Joan Rivers, back in the news.
That's a name we haven't heard in a while.
I have missed hating Joan. I don't get a chance to hate her nearly as much anymore since every right-thinking television executive has thrown her off and not allowed her to do the red carpets any longer.
They have done the right thing.
Stupidly, America Online had Joan and her daughter Melissa set to do Emmy Fashions critique the day after the Emmy Awards on Sunday.
Right.
Okay. The 21st. And AOL was going to have them on their style list section. But the people who run the page decided not to post their comments. Apparently, Joan Rivers said that she was censored. She told the New York Post that she had several references in her comedy chunk to Nazi Germany.
Oh, good.
And apparently she thought that that was too offensive for AOL. That's why they pulled the plug. Among them, Julie Louis-Dreyfus. Luckily, she waxed her mustache. I know one of her neighbors. If she leaves it for 2 or 3 weeks, she looks just like Hitler.
Okay, dumb.
So she says AOL censored her. That's why the comments never appeared on the website.
How dare you? How dare you say that? Aren't you amazed? I mean, it's how stupid can somebody say that? Son of a bitch.
AOL is like Holocaust deniers, Joan Rivers told Page Six.
No, no, no.
They want us to believe 6 million Jews spent World War II in Boca, and Anne Frank was in an attic for 2 years looking for Christmas ornaments.
I don't think they're saying that as much, Joan, as they're saying that your material wasn't good enough for the internet.
Well, listen to the response from Colleen Curtis, editorial director of Women's and Lifestyle Programming at AOL.
Please.
It's hard to imagine why Joan Rivers believes that AOL denies the Holocaust ever happened. But it's also hard to imagine that Joan really believes anyone would think her Emmy coverage was funny. I didn't. And I didn't think our audience would either.
That's why they censored her.
So
not funny.
I chose not to use it on our fashion site.
I find that despicable. I find that disgusting. Naughty, naughty, naughty.
By the way, as an aside, Julia Louis-Dreyfus couldn't have looked any better at the Emmys.
Yeah, look, there's no basis in anything she says. She just now lashes out randomly at people trying to be funny, and she's not. And AOL said, this isn't funny. Why would we put this on our website?
Yeah.
Now they're Holocaust deniers.
Wow.
Yeah. And true to his white trash fan base, Kid Rock is launching his own line of beer.
Okay.
Drink America Holdings is the name of the company. Will launch a domestic brew named after Kid Rock next year. So if you're a big Kid Rock fan, you can drink it while in your wife beater.
It'll be called
while
Kid Beer?
Your wife, you could do that. Kid Rock Beer, I guess it'll be. And you could drink it at his shows and hear him with those amazing lyrics like, we were trying different things. We were smoking funny things.
He did rhyme things with things.
We were rhyming things with things.
That's true.
Ass.
Don't we already have PBR?
That's
we need
true.
Kid Rock Beer.
It is Kid Rock Beer right there.
Come on.
I'm out of time, but when we come back in about an hour or so, I will bring you more showbiz news, including the top 10 highest paid musicians in the world.
How dare you?
Nope.
For
nope.
the last year. So over the past year, we'll tell you how much your favorite musicians have made, and you'll be surprised by some of the numbers, I guarantee you. Today's celebrity birthdays. Olivia Newton-John is not on the list of biggest money-making singers
no, I'm
over
guessing
the past
not.
Year, but she is 60 years old today. Linda Hamilton, the original Sarah Connor in the Terminator movies, 52. Jim Caviezel played Jesus Christ in The Passion of the Christ, is 40. Christina Milian is 27. And Serena Williams also turns 27 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
We want to give Psycho Mike a minute's airtime because he is doing a charity event this weekend that actually is as confusing as it is. Once we understand it, I think it may be for a good cause. And the good cause is what, Michael?
Prostate cancer research and families of fallen and injured soldiers.
So it's fight gone bad.
Yeah.
And you're going to fight.
No.
You're not going to fight.
Here's the deal. MMA fighters always try to base their training around MMA fights. So it's 3 5-minute rounds. They try to do all their conditioning in 3 5-minute rounds.
Right.
So this one style of training was done on BJ Penn, considered the greatest fighter in the world, pound for pound. And at the end of this given training round, he was lying on the ground in a skeletal wreck of man, drowning in his own sweat, and he looked over to his trainer and said, that's like a fight gone bad, and hence the name Fight Gone Bad. So the last three or four years.
So it's the worst, it's the most difficult.
Yeah. It's designed to exceed the metabolic demands of a fight. It's really, really, really challenging, and I somehow got convinced into doing this because it is for a good cause.
Wow.
So the stuff that you're going to be doing tomorrow and others who are participating in the challenge, it's similar to the workout that the MMA fighters do.
Yeah, it's just...
But you're not actually fighting one another.
No, it's completely replicated to be the conditioning and training for a fight.
So you work out and then you swim to Catalina and then
it's a
row to Hawaii. How does it work? I'm very confused.
It's five exercises, 1 minute each. So the 5 minute rounds are five different exercises. You get 1 minute at each one and you just got to rifle through them in a circuit.
Mm.
It's pretty demanding. It's pretty tough.
You know what? If you don't mind, I think we have a spokesman for a Fight Gone Bad on
really?
The line.
Yeah. Okay.
Just kind of clarify it a little bit because it's a little confusing. Good morning, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah, who's this?
This is Dale.
Dale
McKendridge.
Dale, have you been listening? Because we're confused. Fight Gone Bad.
Yeah, Fight Gone Bad.
Not Fight
Gone Bad.
Right, but there's no fight.
No! That's why it's gone bad.
Okay, so what happened?
Because the fight was canceled.
Right, but what happens with the charity event? What is that?
Well, you sponsor our athletes as they go through their incredibly tough workout.
Uh-huh.
And all that money goes to Athletes for a Cure, which helps cure prostate cancer.
Okay.
So if you want a healthy prostate, you got to do sphincter clenches.
Is that part of it?
Yeah, it's part of the workout.
No kidding.
I'm yeah, we put, you know those spring-loaded hand things you squeeze to make your hand stronger?
Right.
We put one in your sphincter.
No.
You got to bear down.
No.
Push those cheeks together.
Tough. Well, no wonder BJ Penn didn't want to do it.
Yeah, it's tough.
And then your prostate will be able to cut up the flow in a fire hose. Eventually. Well,
and that's needed.
How strong your prostate will be.
That's needed why?
Because, you know, if you want to keep your prostate healthy, you got to keep it flexing.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Now, Dale, before we hear about more of what Mike and the others are going to be doing that are competing down there tomorrow,
Sumo Lift!
Okay, before we get to the Sumo Lift, I just want to say, you go to krock.com, click on the Kevin and Bean page, and on the front page there is a link if you'd like to donate some money to this very worthwhile cause for Psycho Mike. So
yeah,
that's the important information to get. Now, what is the Sumo Deadlift?
Sumo Deadlift is we bring you a dead sumo wrestler.
What?
And you have to clean and jerk him.
Wow.
Oh, what are we talking about
you
here?
Lift him over your head.
Mike, is that your understanding of the sumo deadlift?
No, I must be really confused because I didn't.
I've never heard of
this. You must be confused.
I've never heard of the sumo deadlift.
Then we do the crunch, the dog balls crunch lift.
The dog balls crunch lift.
Yeah.
Okay.
We give you a great St. Bernard. You're lift him by his balls.
Well, that sounds bad for the dog.
Worse for you. They don't like it.
Yeah, okay.
They attack you.
Okay.
That's a fight gone bad.
Yes, it is.
That's what that is.
Yes, it is. That's true.
Then we do the box jump.
The box jump?
Yeah, that's for the ladies. You have to jump inside yourself somehow.
Oh, come on.
We just watch the girls roll around the floor for a while. It's just mostly fun.
And then they kiss, I hope.
Oh, absolutely.
Sure.
But they have to do lip ups. They have to put their arms behind their back and lift themselves off the floor using only their lips.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's a fight gone bad.
Yes, that doesn't sound good.
Then we do the deadlift high pull.
What is the deadlift high pull?
I have no idea. I just read it on the list. That sounds retarded.
Mike, have you tried that? Do you know what the high pull is?
Yeah.
What is it?
It's when you come from a deadlift stance and you pull the bar up towards your chin, high pull.
Wait,
high.
I thought you knew. You're the spokesperson, aren't you?
I do.
All right.
That's what I was going to say.
Okay, you said you didn't know about it. All right.
Then, of course, you got to do wall balls.
Wall balls.
Yeah.
Wall balls. What's a wall ball?
Yeah, we drill a hole in a wall. You figure it out.
Michael Wynn, then. Is there a competition?
Yeah, it's a competition.
All right.
We think he's a sure thing for that one.
Okay.
Only we put fiberglass insulation inside the wall.
Oh, no.
Oh, that sounds itchy.
You come out a little nicked up.
Oh, that's not good.
But it's the price you pay for a good prostate.
Yeah.
Fight gone bad.
Our television god, Seth MacFarlane, coming up in about 10 minutes.
He's the best.
First, though, yes, he is very much the best. And he pays you, and you don't even have to say that.
He's also my boss, and he's the best.
Yeah. Congratulations to Megan Ramos, by the way, from Hacienda Heights, who won that trip to see the Killers in Las Vegas. Today is your last day to win those trips. We're doing four today, so one down, three to go, 11 o'clock this morning with Cat Corbett, and then again at 3, and then at 7 p.m., your chance to go see the Killers in Las Vegas ahead of their new album release. It's 7:23, Friday morning. Ralph is here with an early edition of the Movie Beat.
In the world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat.
Welcome to my world.
Hey kids, four major releases in Southland Cineplexes this weekend. Let's take a look at each of them, shall we? Knights in Rodan. Apparently Richard Gere and Diane Lane battle the giant Japanese monster Rodan.
I don't think it's about the monster.
I think you have that title. That's not quite the title, I don't think.
Oh.
I think it's close to that.
Oh, it's Knights in Rodanthe.
That's
it. Yeah, that's not nearly
terrible title, by
the way. That's a small town in North Carolina. Here's what happens in this movie. Richard Gere plays a doctor who's traveling to see his estranged son.
Right.
And he stays at a little North Carolina inn that's run by an unhappily married woman played by Diane Lane. I wonder if they fall in love.
What could happen there in that story?
This is from a book by a guy named Nicholas Sparks, who wrote a book called The Notebook. Remember that smash hit romantic comedy?
Oh, yes.
And ever since that movie made a ton of money, they have bought everything he's ever written. They just paid $1 million for like some cocktail napkin that he wrote down a phone number on. They keep buying his stuff and making it into movies, and they're all horrible, horrible failures. Remember that Message in a Bottle movie with
that was his too?
Kevin Costner? Yeah, yeah, good stuff.
Wow.
Anyway, this is for the ladies, as you can imagine. Richard Gere and Diane Lane getting together again for the third time in a motion picture. And here is a scene from the film where Richard Gere is telling Diane Lane that he envies her life.
I know you're hurting. I should have gone there with your son last night.
But I want you to know that I envy what you have. Your kids are very fortunate to have someone who loves them as much as you do. Someone who tries so hard. And any man is a fool who doesn't know how incredibly lucky he is to have you.
Yeah.
Whoa.
It always appears that way when you're talking to other men's wives.
At some point, did she say, would you speak up? Is there a possibility you could speak up?
I know you.
Why are you mumbling? I can't hear you.
The Harrison Ford School of Acting.
What the hell?
Look, this might be fine. I don't know.
Not for us.
Go. Don't go. Whatever.
Enjoy.
Here's my review. Miracle at St. Anna also opens today. This is from Spike Lee. Story of a murder committed by a post office worker in 1984 that sets in motion an investigation that ties back to the experiences of a black battalion of American soldiers who became trapped in a Tuscan village during World War II. Nope! Come on, Spike! We thought you were on the right track with The Inside Man coming back with that bank caper movie.
This looks like it might be good.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. Anna?
Maybe? I mean, I don't know.
Here's a scene from the film where one of the soldiers gives a little boy the head of a statue and tells him that it brings miracles. All right, this is happening during World War II where they're in this Tuscan village and they give the head of the statue to this little boy who grows up to become this murderer in 1984.
God made this thing here through man's hand, but the Lord gave it shape and purpose. And through this little thing here, God gives you something else, boy. You know what it is? I'm going to tell you. It's a secret. Miracles.
Hello there.
Wow. You sure enough do. Also opening this weekend, Choke.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. This looks great. Awesome. This is an adaptation of a novel written by the same dude who wrote Fight Club. Choke stars Sam Rockwell as a sex-addicted con man who pays for his mother's hospital bills, his mother played by Angelica Houston, by the way, by playing on the sympathies of people who rescue him from choking to death. He fakes choking to death, and when people rescue him, they feel sorry for him, and he plays on their sympathies, and that's how he gets money out of them. But he's also a sex addict, and he's also trying to sleep with his mother's attending physician, played by Kelly MacDonald in the film. This sounds like a weird, wonderful story.
It does.
With a great, great cast. Here is a scene from Choke where Sam Rockwell is trying to sleep with his mom's doctor.
Facing the possibility of a loved one's demise can be very traumatic.
Oh, no, I want her to die. Just not until I find out who my family is.
Perhaps we should talk later, when you're not so upset.
You know, you're absolutely right. What time do you get off?
You don't have to do that.
What?
Try to have sex with me.
Oh, I really do.
Well, I suppose that's flattering, but I think we'd better not.
Why?
Because you're just sad and lonely, maybe. And you're realizing for the first time that your mother probably won't be getting better. And sleeping with me isn't going to change any of that now, is it?
Only one way to find out.
Love Sam Rockwell.
Me too.
Love this movie. Looking forward to seeing it this weekend. And lastly, my choice for the week. I've had a chance to see this particular film. It's called Eagle Eye.
Oh, this looks great.
Stars Shia LaBeouf, Billy Bob Thornton, Michelle Monaghan, Rosario Dawson. Shia LaBeouf plays a guy who is a regular guy, works at a copy store, and suddenly he gets pulled into the world of international terrorism. When one day, I can't give away, this is one of those movies you don't want to give away too much because everything that happens sort of feeds into something else.
All I've seen in the trailer is he gets those phone calls from that voice, that computer voice.
Yes, he gets a call that changes his life when he's told he's been activated and has to follow a series of seemingly random tasks that tie into a giant terrorist scheme in America. And Shia LaBeouf is excellent in this film. As is Michelle Monaghan, who plays another stranger who is given the same phone call, and these two are kind of thrust together. People have no idea why they're being thrown together, but they end up being forced to get into this this plot together. And it's one of those movies where it's a great popcorn action film loaded with brilliant stunts and adventure, but it does not skimp on the characters and the storyline. In fact, initially, so much is happening at the beginning of the film that's sort of disjointed. You start to wonder exactly what's going on, but as you pay attention in the film, slowly bits and pieces start to drop into place until finally you see the big picture, which is my favorite kind of action movie. A smart action movie is a rarity these days, and this certainly is one of them.
What's your guess on whether Kevin's going to be able to follow this one or not?
I think he will.
Really?
I think he will, because he'll be paying attention, because he likes that sort of counter-espionage, terrorist, military BS. He loves
I do
that
love that, but I have ADD too, so.
I know.
All right.
I'll give you a little hint. My wife and I went to a screening of this film, and after the opening scene, before the credits, she said, "I thought that was a trailer for another movie." The first scene is seems like out of place about what you know about the film that you really don't know what's happening. You just have to pay attention.
All right. But How long do you have to pay attention?
The whole film.
Okay.
Sorry, Kevin.
Kevin's at the point now where at the end of the movie, he's already forgotten what he saw at the beginning. So that's why they have to be shorter and shorter.
Should I bring a piece of paper and a pen?
You might
want to. Tattoo it onto your body.
Keep track?
It's smart. It's a great thriller. Michelle Monaghan will be a movie star after this. I mean, she's been in a couple movies already, but this will make her a star, I think. Shia LaBeouf proves that he is the next generation of sort of romantic leading man action hero stars. It's a terrific movie. It moves like a freight train. It must be about 2 hours, but it seems like about 15 minutes. I mean, just so much is going on.
Awesome.
So much. It's really well done. And Billy Bob, of course, is great. He's
Aren't you supposed
great.
To review these without seeing them? Isn't
I know.
That your bit?
I accidentally saw this one, I can't help myself. Here's a scene from the film where Shia LaBeouf's character, Jerry Shaw, this is the guy who's been pulled into this terrorist plot by these mysterious phone calls. He's trying to explain to Billy Bob Thornton, who plays a government agent, that the evidence they have about him being involved in a terrorism plot is
fake, false,
not true.
What do you call it?
Planted,
circumstantial.
Circumstantial.
Yeah, exactly. It's not his fault. He's not connected to this plan.
Somebody set me up. Why is that so hard for you to understand?
Somebody.
Yeah, a woman called me on the phone. She told me I was going to be arrested.
A woman. Your mom? Who?
I don't know. If I knew, I would tell you. I don't know.
Here's the thing, Jerry. Who do you think's winning? Your Miranda rights or my right to keep you in this room as long as I want to? I don't care if you tell me the truth about your brother. I don't care who you work for. Because no matter what you tell me, you're in a load of trouble, son.
Oh, I love Billy Bob so much.
I do too.
And here's the cool thing about this movie is it's purely a popcorn movie. It's an action thriller, but it also raises a lot of questions about our civil rights and about the Constitution. And there are some thoughtful moments in there as well.
That scares me.
Trust me, it does not deliver a message in a heavy-handed way at all. But when you're leaving the theater, you start thinking about stuff and saying, yeah, that is kind of interesting, you know, who we are as an American people and that kind of stuff. So there's a lot to recommend this film for, and I do so wholeheartedly. Eagle Eye, my pick for this weekend. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the show the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
Coming up in about a half hour, we're going to talk to Petros Papadakis about the USC football game last night that didn't go quite as well as the Trojans would have liked.
It was,
if I could say it that way,
something of an upset, if that's what you're suggesting.
Oregon State was not exactly ranked.
Yeah. You don't ever expect the Trojans to be down 21-0 at halftime, ever.
And USC's was number one, and then not ranked, and then number one, and then not ranked.
You know, we don't have to wait a half hour. We can talk to Petros right now if you want.
Oh, fantastic. All right. Hey, P.
Hey, what's cracking, guys?
Hell of a game.
I'm replacing Seth MacFarlane. That is awesome. He's like my hero.
He's our hero, too, but he doesn't answer the phone when he's supposed to sometimes. So we're going to try to get a hold of him. But Petros, what happened last night, dude?
We can always count on the old P to come through in the clutch.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we appreciate that.
Gross.
Yeah. Oh,
now, were you, first of all, before we describe the game and you analyze it for us, were you working last night's game?
No. It was up in Corvallis, Oregon. I was here. I have a game locally tomorrow, which is a black college extravaganza called the Angel City Classic, to show inner city kids and just kids in general here in Southern California that there are black colleges and there's a whole culture of historic African-American colleges. We got Morehouse Prairie View tomorrow, guys, so look forward to that.
Well, that sounds like a better choice for you than doing the USC game last night.
Last night, we had at FSN sold that game to ESPN, so it was a Thursday night game on ESPN.
Right.
Up in Corvallis, Oregon, against Oregon State, USC has a lot of history this decade, and I'm very much involved with that. So this was the first one that I have not been to since I played in the game in 2000 and fumbled to lose.
USC.
Wait a minute. In 2000, USC lost because of you?
Oh, yeah. Well, I was a captain of the freaking team, guys.
I mean, no, I know that, but I'm saying specifically you fumbled and that ruined it.
Well, it certainly didn't help. I mean, I fumbled on our own 5-yard line, so, and it's the only fumble I ever lost in my career. But I fumbled a lose in 2000, and then if you'll remember, a few years after that, I was calling games, and I did that game in the fog up there. Remember that fog game?
Oh, yeah. That's
right.
Yep.
So I did that game on TV, and then in 2006, I did the game up there, and USC lost with John David Booty, and that was a big, giant upset. So no one saw this one coming. Everybody figured, you know, USC coming off a bye week, number one team in the country. Oregon State has been way below mediocre this year. They got beat by Stanford in their first game. They got absolutely boat raced and just humbled in Happy Valley on the East Coast against Penn State. I mean, they beat Hawaii a couple weeks ago. But then to have USC go up there, the number one team in the country, ESPN did like a 9-hour pregame show celebrating every player who farts on the USC team.
Sure.
And then they go up there with a terrible offensive game plan. I won't get too technical with you guys, but they went up there with a really bad game plan. You know, it seems like the guys on the USC team this year are really worried about what they're writing on their eye black and different stuff like that. And they played an undisciplined game, and they got exposed by a well-coached Oregon State team that was ready to beat them.
Do you think that USC got out-coached more than outplayed?
I think it was both. I think they certainly got out-coached the first half, and they just did not come out with any kind of fire or
right.
Look, they had two bye weeks, guys. You know, they started the season and then they had a week off. Then they had another game and then they had a week off. And basically, those guys just sat around. Not that they didn't work hard, not that they didn't practice, but they just sat around and got their balls washed by everybody in the city, including me, telling them all how great they are and how fantastic USC is and how USC is by far and away the number one team in the country. And
sure.
They're so talented and they're so deep and they're so good and all their farts smell like Cinnabons. I mean, everybody, you know, I mean, that's what everybody was saying, and that's what everybody was kind of doing, and everybody had faith in Pete Carroll's ability to prepare the team, regardless of the hype, and that just didn't happen.
So I'm playing poker last night, and the game is on TV, and I can see it from where I'm sitting, and I go, guys, Oregon State, 7-0. And they go, what? Oregon State? I was like, because not a few of us had some money on the game. Guys, 14-0. Guys, you're not going to believe this, 21-0. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, and it just kept moving in that way. And what happened was in that first half, I mean, the time of possession, not to get too technical, was 20-10. So USC's defense was out there twice as long as they should have been for the most part. And even if the second half USC did surge, I mean, after being on the field that long in the first half, USC was trying to be all cute and do all kinds of fancy crap, while Oregon State was just simply trapping them and blowing them off the ball in the first half. And they kind of were arrogant with their play calling. When the game started to get away, they continued to try to be all cute instead of just lining up and running over what is a weaker team. And it got back and bit them right in the ass. And, you know, you gotta give credit to the Beavers, though. I mean, Mike Riley.
That's what I've been saying my whole life.
Hey, we love Beavers. Don't get us wrong.
Yeah, USC wanted to beat up that Beaver, but they couldn't do it.
Hey, here's what I don't understand, Pete.
He's a really good coach. He was an offensive coordinator at SC when I was there. He is he's a great guy and a good coach, and those guys are well-coached, well-prepared, and they won a big game.
Here's what I don't understand, though. You know, Kevin was talking about how the score, you know, ended up 21-0 at halftime. One of the articles I read this morning said that Pete Carroll and the Trojans could tell what was being done. They could see how they were failing, yet were not able to make the changes to stop that from happening in the first half. And that's what I don't understand when you've got a coach like Pete Carroll who's obviously knows the game inside and out. Why is it too difficult to make those kind of adjustments on the fly to deviate from the game plan you thought that was going to work?
No, not in Carroll's past. I mean, their problem was defensively. They were having some real issues stopping this freshman kid named Jock Quiz, or just Quiz Rogers. This young kid, true freshman out of Texas, was pretty much untackleable. I mean, if you guys want to get into the technical part of the adjustments, I can. I don't think your listeners want to get into it.
No, but usually it seems like coaches at that level can make the necessary changes at halftime they need to and kind of fix that.
Pete Carroll has put the eggs in the basket of two different players on either side of the ball, both overly celebrated, in my opinion, and they both really let him down. I mean, if you want me to name names, I will. Joe McKnight on offense and Ray Malaluga on defense. Ray was running around blocks all night. It was, he made like 13 tackles, but they were all way down the field. I mean, Oregon State just kept running right at him, and he was not able to handle it.
He's their linebacker?
Yeah, he's their starting linebacker, and he left with an injury at the end of the game. And Joe McKnight is this really fancy tailback from the South, and they really try to feature him, but he's not that physical. And he fumbled. I mean, he had the worst game I've ever seen, you know, from a skill position guy at SC in a long time. I mean, he was awful, and they just kept going to him as opposed, you know, USC's so deep. They have so many players, so many guys that are superstars, you know, and a lot of them standing on the sideline and watching. You know, if one guy's not coming through for you, you know, get somebody else involved. And then they just didn't do that. You got to give Oregon State credit, guys.
I mean,
they played a great game. They played a great game, and they won a big game.
What does this mean in the big picture for USC and the national rankings and the end of the season playoff picture and all that? Is this something that can easily – we'll forget all about this if they rip off, you know, 3-4 more wins in a row?
You know, they will. I mean, they will. I have three of their games in October, which have now become, you know, relatively meaningless. It's not in a national picture. It's a bad scene now because the Pac-10 is so weak right now. Everybody has losses in the Pac-10. There's not an undefeated team left in the Pacific 10 Conference, which is who I sort of work for. They just don't have anybody who could represent them in the BCS championship game. At least that's how it looks now. And the SEC and the Big 12 look like they're going to have the representatives for the national championship. USC was really the only hope left on the West Coast because the Pac-10 has really underperformed this year. I mean, it's been awful. So it's over. I mean, unless everybody starts really losing two or three games and USC rips through the rest of their schedule, but USC's schedule with everybody left is going to be considered so weak because everybody's going to be beating up on each other. So as of this point, it doesn't look like SC's going to be playing for the national championship. They'll probably be back in the Rose Bowl.
Sure, shocker. Last night, Oregon State 27, USC 21. I don't know who saw that coming.
The Beavs. I didn't see it coming. I mean, I knew the Beavers were good. I knew they had some guys that could play, and I know their coach, and I know they're well coached, but damn, I mean, that shocked me. I like it a lot better if USC loses and I'm calling the game so everybody pays attention to me because it's really more, but
it's all
really
about
me than anybody else.
Right, sure.
Exactly. Hey, they could have used you playing last night. All right, P, always great to have you on for the analysis, man. We appreciate it. Have a great weekend, dude.
Love you guys. I hope I put it in perspective for you.
Thank you very much. Petros and Money, they got a movie review show on AM 570 in the afternoons. Thanks, man. Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Forbes magazine has released has released a list of the world's richest rockers.
Okay. This is the richest of all time or of their lives or just this year?
This is the richest of the past 12 months.
12 months,
so the past year. This is the 10 world's highest paid musicians for the past 12 months.
Okay.
Number 10 on the list. Gwen Stefani, our very own Gwen Stefani, made $27 million this year.
Most of that probably not from music, I would imagine.
I would imagine not. Probably a lot from her clothing line, and I think she sold one of her babies.
Nope, that didn't
pretty
happen.
Much for a couple.
That
for
did
a couple
not
million,
happen.
I think so.
That did not happen. I can guarantee you.
Number 9, Genesis.
What?
Had the big world tour.
Very successful world tour.
It's a studio, bitch.
Stadiums, I think they were selling out all over the world.
At
the
cab, mother effer.
Who wants to see Genesis in this day and age?
A lot of people. Well, $31 million worth of people.
Wow.
Well, this was, remember, Kevin, this was a reunion tour, so nobody has had the opportunity to see Genesis in 20 years, so it was one of those deals.
Right, but they're still Genesis, right?
They are still Genesis. Doing only, Genesis songs.
They're Genesis only 20 years older.
Trick of the light, bitch.
I don't even know that song.
Oh. Did Peter, what's his name? Gabriel, did he join them on this tour?
He did not.
He did not. Oh. So no Lamb Lies Down on Broadway?
No. I think they may have done some of that, but yeah, it was mostly the Phil Collins era. So.
Okay. Van Halen, number 8 on the list.
Okay.
$35 million they made the past year.
It's healthy.
There's a three-way tie at number 5.
Okay.
Madonna, Celine Dion, and Rascal Flatts.
At a tie for $40 million apiece.
Boy, do I hate Rascal Flatts.
And Riscal Flatts, too. Oh. I hate them. Kevin hates them so much he won't even say their name right at the Grammys. That's how much he hates them.
And I hate everyone if that's the case.
Here's fourth on the list, Justin Timberlake. Made $44 million.
You know, has he even been touring?
Yeah. He had that Love, Sex, that was Lies, and Videotape tour.
That's what it was.
That was called.
That's what it was. Yeah.
It was on HBO and everything. They had the big.
This sounds like you're saying this is the wealth that these people have amassed over their entire career.
1 year,
not
this
possible.
Is the past year,
$45 million in a year.
Yes, he collects a lot of Skrilla from his clothing line.
Does he? He collects Skrilla.
Yeah. Did you just say Skrilla?
Yes.
You have to stop talking now.
Yes.
Go do a sumo jerk or whatever the hell you're doing.
But aren't there a lot of performers, Ralph, who can go out and, like a Madonna, for instance, who can literally clear, you know, $3-4 million a night, right?
Yes, yes. It's nuts. It's manic. Third on the list, Toby Keith.
Nope.
Wow.
Will stick his American boot up your foreign ass for the tune of $48 million in the past year.
Wow.
Nice boot.
Wow.
$48 million. That's a golden boot.
That
sticking
is.
Up your foreign ass.
The
right
countdown
there.
Doesn't stop till we hit the top.
Beyonce.
Oh. The past year, mind you. Just keep in mind, this is the past 12 months.
Yeah.
Has made $80 million.
In the past year.
In a year, $80 million.
Does she have perfume or all that
yes,
stuff?
Yes, all that stuff. Yeah,
she does. $80 million in a year.
And number one on the list of this year's richest musicians, The Police, who made $115 million in the year... 2008.
Wow.
That's a lot.
But they got to split it three ways, though.
That's true.
Yeah, so that worked out like nothing.
It's like $80,000 or something. Yeah. So there you go. There's your money maker. There's your musicians with the most Skrilla. Yo.
That's amazing. I wouldn't have guessed Toby Keith or Rascal Flatts. It shows how ignorant I am, but that's amazing amounts of money.
F country. Speaking of music, Sir Paul McCartney did his concert in Israel last night. And
he's
apparently,
a hunger.
Oh, stop it. Apparently it went off without a hitch. They were concerned, you know, because they had some sort of fatwa against him or something. the Palestinians were going to murder him or something was going to go
what
on.
Was you don't remember why or what the deal was?
Well, because he was playing in Israel. They thought he was taking a side. He was choosing Israel over Palestine.
So they had put a target on him as a we'll show you kind of deal. But he performed outdoors in Yarkon Park in Tel Aviv for 40,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a smash hit.
He didn't do those crappy Beatles songs, did he?
Actually, he did, but he altered them slightly for the Jewish audience. Apparently, for encores, he did Hey Jews. The Long and Winding Nose.
Come on.
Oh. And Rabbi, Want to Hold Your Hand.
Come on, ladies and gentlemen.
Apparently, that's what that's how he closed out the show.
Nicely done.
Thank you, Ralph, so much.
Earned your pay today. You go ahead and kick off early.
I'm going home, people.
That's good.
And did you watch Survivor Gabon last night? New Survivor.
I can't believe Survivor is still on the air.
Survivor
Gabon.
Oh, okay.
Where is that?
It's in Africa.
Africa. Okay.
Yeah. Apparently, two people were already kicked off. They're moving right along now in Survivor.
On the first episode?
Yeah. Michelle and Jillian had to go. So.
Oh, I'm sorry to see them
For those
go.
Of you who had Michelle and Jillian in your office pools, you're out.
So they went all the way to Africa and then
came all the way back.
Day one.
Nice.
Yeah.
I lose some of these shows, like America's Next Top Model is a great example of a show. I watched the first two seasons, and I realized they were going to be the same every year, and I lost interest. Is Survivor mixing it up? Are the rules way different, or is it still the exact same show as it has been for the last 20 years?
Exactly the same show.
Really?
They throw them off the boat, they get them on the shore, then they split them up into two teams. This year, the two groups are Fang and Kota.
Yes, they are.
The Fang tribe and the Kota tribe, and then they do wacky stuff. However, this year, they've got an Olympic gold medal winner.
In,
because
it matters with the Olympics, it can be crappy.
Curling.
Is it curling, really? Or are you just busting balls?
Just making that up.
I think it may be volleyball or badminton or something like that, yeah. Named Crystal, and a pinup model named Sugar.
Okay,
that's
well,
a
that's
reason to watch.
Okay.
Pretty hot blonde.
Go Sugar.
Pretty hot blonde, so you might want to check it out. Anyway, Michelle and Jillian are gone, for those people who care. Anyone?
No.
Anyone?
No.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Olivia Newton-John is 60 years old today. Linda Hamilton is 52. Jim Caviezel from Passion of the Christ turns 40. Christina Milian is 27. And Serena Williams, tennis star, also 27. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock 106.7 KROQ.
Time for another guest.
Our friend Chris Kraft has joined us here in the studio this morning. He has previously appeared on the Kevin and Bean Show as an expert on Ask a CSI Dude. Remember when we did that a few weeks ago?
Yep.
That's what Chris does. He works in CSI, just like on the TV show. And for some reason, was it the day you were here, Chris, that we started talking to you about how the black light works in your job?
Actually, I don't know if we touched on that topic at all. Maybe a little bit.
I don't know how it came out, but your name came to mind when we started talking about this, and I think we should cancel it right now. I do not want to see what's on the floors of this studio. You watch the news, you know, the Dateline NBC and all that crap, and then they always do those undercover reports, and they take the black light into the hotel room, mm-hmm. and they show you everything that's in the hotel room, which freaks everybody out.
Yeah.
To
yeah.
the point where now I don't know anyone who doesn't rip the cover of the bed off and put it in the corner.
Well, I know.
That's the first thing I do. I don't think they wash those all the time. It's just, it'd be too expensive.
No, not at all. Like once a month or something, I think they wash the bedspreads.
Yeah.
In the nice hotels, in the places I stay, they've never been washed.
Right.
Hey, Chris, let's talk about the aspect of your CSI job that we're discussing here, which is the black light. I mean, it's not really a black light like the stoners used to have for posters on their walls in their bedrooms, right?
Well,
it's something special, right?
Well, no. When you talk about a black light, that's a UV light that runs on mm-hmm. the long wave UVA.
You don't tell me. A's the best, by the way. I'm not a big fan of B or C.
It's a more safer way of, I guess, projecting that light spectrum out onto out there, you know, versus the.
We don't really need the technical explanation as much.
This is exactly what you're talking about. The midnight bowling, Disneyland rides, attractions. It's the same thing, but we don't use that as much as what I have right here is called an alternate light source.
And what does that mean?
So this is an ALS alternate light source. It means it can changing the heads.
Uh-huh.
You can focus a narrow wavelength of light to get it to react to whatever type of object or stain material you're looking for.
Okay, so if we turn off the lights in the studios here at K-Rock, you shine that, and then you see what? It turns out if there are fluids at any point, they turn out white?
Well, no, here's the thing. These lights emit a wavelength that a lot of different materials and substances will react to. Detergents.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Bleaches.
Can you tell the difference?
No.
You can't.
Oh. How does that help you on a crime scene? I mean, that's why you use it. You go to a crime scene and you're looking for blood and hair and fiber and things like that, right? How does it help if you can't distinguish between one stain to another?
Well, actually, blood's the easiest. Since it's dark, it actually absorbs the light. So it won't refract or reflect any back. So if you see a dark stain, even on the dark material, most likely that's going to be blood. We'll next do a presumptive test, which involves some chemical reagent. And some testing. If that's a positive, or even if it's positive or negative, we'll still collect that and take that back to the lab where they can do more in-depth chemical analysis of the composition and the structure of that.
How about the various fluids that may be emitted from human bodies? Do they show up differently depending on what they are?
They don't. However, the light actually reacts to the biological or bacteria components.
Yeah.
Bacterial growth after the fact, not the actual proteins and enzymes from semen.
I'm sorry to all the smart people, but you're going to have to dumb it down for me, dude. I mean, really, you got to.
I think I'm working at
a third grade level here.
I think what Chris is saying is that the two fluids in particular that we're worried about being in the studio that may come out of a man's body. They would look the same if they were both fresh, but they grow differently after they've been sitting for a while.
Actually, fresh stains will not really show up or fluoresce. The dry stains will, because you have that bacterial growth. You have that bacterial breakdown of that substance. That is actually what the light is showing.
Okay. All right. It's not too late to cancel this, is what I'm saying. Because the K-Rock Studios, I swear to God, we come in on Mondays and we go, what the hell kind of party happened over the weekend? And it doesn't look like it ever gets clean, and there's stains everywhere, and it's gross.
Well, look at the people we've got working here.
Yes.
Think about people like Sluggo, people like Cat, people like, God forbid, Jed the Fish. Who knows what goes on here during Loveline, during Rodney's show? I mean, there's so many hours of the day. And the other thing is, you're right, the studio doesn't get clean because it's in operation 24 hours a day. So it's not like there's ever a time where it's empty and people can come in and really scour it, because it's always on the air. And that's what concerns us. And I suspect, Chris, that there have been times where you've taken your little black light and you've, you know, flashed it and you've gone, oh, my God, I would never sit down on anything in this room, right?
Yeah, there's been times, especially in hotel rooms.
Yeah.
That
you travel with one, by the way?
just for your own use? Because then I would never sleep.
Yeah,
probably just end up sleeping in the bathtub or something.
What if it shows that it's 100% covered by fluid? It was just my fear.
Usually, if that's the case, you're looking at the optical brighteners and detergents reacting to the light. And that happens a lot. That's what mainly happens when you stand under a black light, is there's these brighteners contained within detergents that is reflecting the light back from the light source that glows. That's what you're actually getting. You're not getting body stains. It's just,
I know we're going to film this as best we can, but obviously when we turn the lights off, it's going to be tough. But what preparations, Kevin, have we made in the studio in order to make it as dark as possible?
Well, they've blacked out the windows completely, so there's no light coming from any. We don't have any windows to outside or anything here at K-Rock. So they blacked out the windows, and we're going to be able to turn off 90% of the lights. We have to – the information on the board here that runs the sound has to stay on.
Yeah, in any
ambient. But we can shut down all the computer monitors.
We can shut down computer monitors and everything else, and it'll be practically, you know, pitch black. Well, it would if there were no stains, is what I'm saying.
But there'll be so many stains, so much fluorescence, you'll be able to read by it.
I don't think I'm ever going to want to come back in here again. I think this is a bad plan.
You know that chair you're sitting in is used by every other DJ.
I know. So is the microphone. I mean, so are all the buttons.
You don't know what Nicole's got coming in or out. I mean, you know, you got to be careful there.
I know some of it. You know what I mean? All right, let's take a break. And then when we come back, the worst idea ever. We're going to blacklight the studio.
I'm nervous.
And we're never going to step foot in here again. Still not too late. We can call it right the hell off.
This is so funny. It's the Kevin DeBeach Show on K-Rock 106.7 KRQ. It's 8:25. This is like you're sitting in front of your doctor and he's just run all the tests and he's about to give you the results of whether you're going to live or die. That's
and you
what we
know
feel
you're
like
going
right
to die, by the way.
Right.
Yeah.
Chris Kraft is in the studio with us. He is a forensic expert working for local law enforcement. We have brought him into the studio today because we have long feared what must be on the controls here at K-Rock, in a room that's open and available to the K-Rock DJs and their guests 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year. And it virtually never gets cleaned. And we're going to turn off all the lights and black light it, just like they do on the CSI show, and find out what's in here.
And we have the very fashionable orange glasses. Very fashionable.
You do look like you're at some sort of a German rave right now, that's for sure. All right, let's go ahead and flip off the lights and have Chris give us a tour of the studio and see what it is we can see in there, I guess.
All right, lights off.
Got all the computer monitors down. Should take me down, shouldn't be able to see me anymore.
Turn the TV off. Make sure everything's...
Wow, that is a big blue light right there.
You need less light? I can turn this off.
Okay, first thing he's checking is the microphone that is on the other side where most of the guests sit. That's the microphone that Ralph's been using today. How's that? Right.
There just seems to be a couple spots like on the cable where it connects to the base of the microphone, but...
You know, a couple of spots of...
Again, can't really tell.
Well, you're not very helpful.
It doesn't look... It doesn't have any... shape or structure to it, so it looks like transfer stain, something that would have been come off your hand.
Let's check Ralph's hands.
Now that surprises me a little bit because I would expect on a microphone saliva is what I would think, spittle.
Does
anyone call it spittle?
Little drops of that, that's probably what that is. That's saliva.
Uh huh.
Uh huh. But no big chunks or anything like that.
Well, there's not going to be a chunk on a microphone.
I would hope not.
Unless it's a target.
Where do you think we're putting them?
I don't know about you guys.
What a petro
sun. All right. Check out those other. There's four mics on that side. Check all of them to see which one we should not be using. Because I'm going to go on the other side.
Yeah, it's.
I have a trash bag on, by the way, so I don't get...
You don't want to get anything on you?
No. Seemed to be, you know, fairly clean, just some transfer stains from whatever would be on your hands.
I don't want to gross anybody out, but, you know, Lisa May's not here. How about her seat? What's going on with that?
Oh, wait, what's
no,
that?
I'm just asking. No.
Wait, what's on the table? What is all that on the table?
There are some type of stains on the table.
There's a bunch of stains on the table.
But again, kind of hard to tell what those are.
Hey, Lightning, if you could grab that microphone and move it over in front of his face kind of so we can hear it. Yeah, that one. Yeah.
Lightning's in the studio videoing. We'll see this this up at KRock.com later on today.
So there's a bunch of stains
right there is one stain.
Okay.
We have a couple more here.
Have you seen any dark ones, Chris? You said that might be blood. Have you seen any of those?
Yeah, I haven't seen any dark ones yet. Those will actually stand out fairly well.
The stains are not in front of where Ralph always is. The stains are in front of where the guest always is. So it's
interesting.
Hard to say who it was.
I can check maybe
it was Slug from Atmosphere. You don't know. All right.
Check out her keyboard. This is
check it out, Lisa May's side. Yep. Looking at the tabletop.
There's a lot of small, dust.
Is it dust?
It's not dust.
That's what I thought.
Again, we're not seeing any large stains, which would be common to, I guess I would call it fluid deposition.
Thank God.
What about that huge fluid deposition right over there to the bottom left of the, yeah, that?
That's not fluorescing, so that's probably either extremely old or very fresh. So I'm guessing it's extremely old. All the biological growth has since ceased and died.
Okay.
So,
but that could be, I mean, that could be a soda stain or something, right? I mean, there's any number of things it could be, right?
Old white out, anything like that.
Let's take a look at Lisa's seat.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Where did it go? Oh, there we go. Okay.
It's so dark in there, it's hard to find the chairs.
Yeah, we're kind of bumping around here. Oh. What's up? Hey, who just groaned?
What was that noise? Whose hand is on my ass?
What does that mean?
And again, that could be anything.
What's happening with the chair, dude? There's a lot of stains.
It does have a shape that's consistent with fluid and also pressure. You know, you drop fluid and then you sit on it or you put pressure against it.
Yes.
Is Lisa leaking? Is that what's going on here?
Can you take a sample and get back to us? All right, look around the floor on that side. We got to step it up a bit here. The carpet is nothing but hair fibers, I'm guessing.
Oh! And there's a lot of fibers down here.
A lot of fibers with what?
Your carpet's kind of fibrous too. It's not the.
Is it deadly?
Tight weave nap? No. That's just your normal carpet fiber.
With the exception of Lisa's chair, so far nothing has been too troubling on that side of the control board. We need to move Chris around maybe to where you sit, Kevin, and take a look at the actual main board here and see what that's doing.
Follow me, Chris. All right, now we can't turn the lights off over here quite as much. I can turn these
again. If you're just joining us, we've got a forensics expert in the studio. All the lights are out here at K-Rock this morning, and we've got a black light looking for fluids in the studio.
He's looking at the phone system.
Transfer off the hands. Some of that is epithelial or your skin cells.
Okay.
As well. So from your ear, from your hand.
Kevin!
Why would you say that?
I have to ask. I want to know what it is. What are you talking about?
Want to make sure
Don't Casey's, we want information?
Make sure Casey's paying attention with her finger on the button?
Yeah.
Come on.
It doesn't have a definitive shape, again, such as a...
What about these buttons? I don't know if you can tell because they're lit up.
Because they're lit up, I can't. It has to be...
So you can't tell. What about this microphone right here? That's the one that most of the DJs.
Yeah, again, that you see a lot of.
That is a dirty microphone.
Yeah, that should be cleaned.
Really? So, really?
Yeah, that
brought
could
him
use...
in to tell us our mic needs to be cleaned.
I could use some assistance right there.
Yeah, most of that is comes from touching, but most of that's coming from somebody's mouth.
Yeah, well, so. That's to be expected, I guess.
Yeah.
Let's blacklight some of us. Let's check out Psycho Mike. Let's look at Psycho Mike. Okay, his hands are glowing orange. What does that mean? They're glowing.
When was the last time you washed your hands?
Earlier this morning. His hands are glowing orange. What is that?
Could maybe be... I don't know what that is.
I had some special time about 4 minutes ago.
Okay.
Oh, come on, Mike.
If that's the case, look at his hair.
Not here.
Put it on his hair. Put it up there.
No.
Nothing there? All right.
Thank God.
Just say, well, it's not bad enough. He's got it on his hands. He's touching all the same buttons I'm touching. Can I get pregnant? I don't know how it works.
Chris, Kevin. you've seen a lot of crime scenes over the years. This room seems relatively clean compared to what you're used to, right?
It's extremely clean. You have to factor in how many people use this.
That's why we thought it would be unusable.
Maybe they're putting down a towel or something.
Nope. That never happens. Wow. They figured out a way to fool even the blacklight, even the CSI experts.
Well, why the light got to be black, first of all, and second of all, it sounds like, with the exception of whatever Psycho Mike's got going on during the songs, the rest of it's okay.
Did you say 4 minutes ago?
Right before we went on the air, yeah.
During what I got?
Yeah.
You couldn't wait?
No.
Really? That song turned you on?
Yeah, there's something about it. Yeah. And, you know, Chris is a handsome fella.
Yeah.
Sure.
So Mike touches all the buttons I touch, and his hands are the dirtiest thing in this room.
Oh.
Yeah, now he's touching.
No!
Now, get away from me, dude. I don't want you to touch
whatever's on his hands is on your hands, Kevin, is what we're learning here.
Okay, beautiful.
All right. I need
well, that is that could have been a lot worse than it was. But I appreciate you bringing in the black light, Chris. That was interesting.
No problem at all, Bean.
So we're going to live, I think. I mean,
sounds like it.
Besides the microphone that I talk into, which has residual crap on it, and Mike's hands, everything else not too bad.
Not
and
too
Lisa's
bad at all.
Chair.
Not too bad at all.
Can't wait to tell her.
Did Second Mike wash up? Are we
yes,
good now?
I made him wash.
Okay, good.
Twice.
All right, here's a little behind the scenes for you here. We don't talk about station stuff very often, but there has been a change in management here at the world famous Q-Rock. We still got our boss, Mr. Weatherby, that we've had for many, many years, and I think we're pretty cool with him. And then they replaced his boss recently, the boy general manager. They replaced him with a new guy who, I got to be honest, I don't know if this has ever happened to you, the K-Rock listener. You've had a new guy come into work. You can't understand a word of what he's saying.
Yeah.
You can understand the words that are coming out of his mouth. You don't know what they mean.
He's
confounding.
He strikes me as a used car salesman. Well, I probably shouldn't be saying this, but he's a cliche machine. He uses, you know, confusing metaphors, and he can talk to you for about 2 minutes, and you couldn't identify how you got from where you started to where you are right now, but you just beg for mercy, and so you just agree to whatever he's saying.
You know what he strikes me as, and I've only met him the one time, is he's a motivational speaker who the entirety of what he's trying to do is pump everybody up. But to what end, I'm not sure. Like if he has a mission for us, if we're supposed to walk away from a meeting with him and know what it is we're supposed to be doing, then I'm dumb because I am missing out on what he's trying to tell us.
Here's a good example before we go. There was a huge sign in the lobby. It was like 8 feet wide. And it said in gigantic letters, and this will tell you everything you need to know about him. These were the words on the sign. Thoughts are things. That was it. Thoughts are things.
I don't know what I'm supposed
now,
to do with that.
Unfortunately, someone took that down, and I think those people should be arrested because that is against the law. But it was in the lobby, and you couldn't get in without seeing a giant sign that said thoughts are things. And apparently there have been meetings where they talk about the secret. I mean, this is a bad sign for K-Rock.
He seems pretty woo-woo.
Yeah.
But we did ask Alex to line him up for us, making his very first appearance on the Kevin and Bean Show. The new head honcho here at the world-famous K-Rock, Troy Coughlin, joins us. Good morning, Troy.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Very good. How are you?
Great to hear from you this morning. I hope you're having a super day.
Troy, I wasn't trying to be rude at all. I mean,
no offense taken, my friends. You guys are successes, and I love success.
Yeah. Okay, we're trying to understand what it is you want us to do, but for instance, the example Kevin gave, thoughts are things.
That's right, my friend. Thoughts are things.
Well, that's
what does
just
it mean?
That's stupid.
Well, they're things. Thoughts are things. Thoughts lead to action.
Right.
Action is what we're looking for.
Right.
Hey, listen, buddy. Nothing happens until I make it happen. You know what I'm saying? That's how you have to feel. You can't build a reputation on what you're going to do. You have to do what you're going to do and then do it. Ideas without action are worthless. What you do speaks so loud, I can't hear what you're saying. Never confuse motion with action.
What?
Do or not do. There is no try.
Thank you, Yoda.
Okay, but what about thoughts or things? I'm not clear.
Hey, listen, guys, you think what you think, and then when you do it, you think about it. You know what I'm saying? And you think about it, then you do it. You do what you can with what you have where you are.
But what does that mean? What am I supposed to be doing? Like, what do you want me to do for you on this show now, Troy?
Listen, Bean, you'll never plow a field if you only turn it over in your head. You know what I'm saying? You got to do things. The end of life is not knowledge, but action. To do nothing is in every man's power, but to do something is in the hands of just a very few.
Okay, what is the something that we're supposed to be doing?
Well, Kevin, there's always a way if you're committed, and the past does not equal failure, remember that. Don't dwell on what went wrong. Instead, focus on what to do next. Spend your energy on moving forward toward finding that answer.
Toward what?
Exactly. If you believe you can, you probably can. If you believe you won't, you most assuredly will not. Belief is the ignition switch that gets you off the launching pad, my friend.
What launching pad? I'm confused.
Well,
about.
People often say motivation doesn't last. Well, neither does bathing. That's why we recommend it every day, right? Come on.
Mr. Coughlin, and I have your name right. It's Coughlin, right?
That's Troy Coughlin. How are you,
Troy Coughlin? Okay.
Hope you're having a super day.
Right. We've been told, now we didn't go to the meeting the other night, but we've been told that you, no joke, walk around with a boombox and play inspirational music to pump up the other employees.
That's right, guys.
Come on.
Wake up and say good morning to a day. Here's a chance for you to change your life. positive thinking will let you do everything better than negative thinking will. You know what I'm saying?
I guess, but can you...
How is listening to Europe sing the Final Countdown going to improve my day or my work?
To keep in mind that time is ticking. You have to dream like you're going to live forever, but live like you're going to die tomorrow.
I'm not... Okay?
You're simply the best! Because you're simply the best!
Oh, dear
you
God.
You guys are the best!
We're not a...
And we are what we repeatedly do. Excellence is not an act. It's a habit, fellas. You know what I'm saying?
No!
Look, you don't wait to strike the iron until it's hot. You make it hot by striking that iron!
Oh, yeah.
Come on! The best day ever. Come on.
Is that SpongeBob?
It sure is. That little sponge sure knows a thing or two about success.
This is a song that you actually played in a meeting the other night.
It sure as heck is, fellas.
Does this work for anyone?
Only if you have the eye of the tiger.
Come on.
Hey, listen, my friend. You know where success comes before work? Only in the dictionary.
Uh-oh.
That's the only place.
The only place I want to put my eye right now is on the scope of a high-powered rifle. That's what I want to do.
Listen, don't let what you can't do interfere with what you can do.
Okay.
What?
Okay. All right. Listen, here's the problem. Nobody knows what you're talking about.
Come on, Kevin. Success seems to be largely hanging on while others have let go.
All right. Listen,
success comes to those who are too busy looking for it.
Here's the thing, Mr. Cochland, is that every time we talk to you, we know less about what the mission is here at K-Rock than before we talk to you.
Well, it takes 20 years to make an overnight success, my friends. And life, as in football, you won't go far unless you know where the goalposts are. Goals are dreams with deadlines.
You're not speaking on behalf of K-Rock to anyone in Los Angeles, are you?
Kevin, if you shoot for the moon, even if you miss, you'll land amongst the stars.
You're not speaking on behalf of K-Rock to anyone in Los Angeles, are you?
You got to be careful if you don't know where you're going, because you just might not get there.
You're not speaking on behalf of K-Rock, are you?
Who am I talking to? Is this Big Boy?
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Hey, give me the afro that requests this, if you don't mind. Oh, no, that's a different afro. I'm sorry, Mark. Mike.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Wow.
Little melt.
That was good.
Little melting.
Wow.
Just a bit.
Hey, guys, Gina Carano is going to join us in the 9 o'clock hour.
Oh.
She is. She, as you know, is the MMA fighter, American Gladiator, going to be fighting on CBS this Saturday. And also, they were able to find Seth MacFarlane. He was vomiting in a ditch somewhere in Hollywood. They managed to drag him out and get him to the phone. And we'll be talking to him about the season premiere of The Family Guy and American Dad coming up. Also, in the 9 o'clock hour, first, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Friday. What's going on?
That Gina Carano, a crush on American Gladiators, if you watch that show.
Yeah.
She's a stunner.
Yep.
And she's not mannish the way a lot of female athletes can be. She's very feminine.
Yep.
Yet she's brutal.
She's
ever seen her fight.
Yes.
She will F you up.
Yes, she will.
Is that hot or not? When you're with a girl who can kick your ass easily.
I think it's hot.
Ow. Right.
I think it's hot. That was not his hands, by the way.
I know.
Hit that microphone.
Bean's hot. Bean's got a little sub side, so a little submissive action going on up there on the island. I'm not sure if it is or not.
You're not sure if it's hot? You don't want her to beat you up?
Is it emasculating knowing that a woman could crush you? No pun intended.
In most cases, I would think so, but only because she would be manly. But if she's this feminine and hot, I don't think that's a turnoff. I just wouldn't fight her.
Well, we'll have to ask her what her
just be really nice to her all the time.
Okay, yes.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly. Whatever you say.
What do you want? Okay, yeah. Yes, that's fine. Okay. Yes.
Before I give you the showbiz news, I want to mention that the Feast of San Gennaro has opened up this weekend. This is a yearly event they do down in Hollywood, right behind the Jimmy Kimmel Live Theater off of Hollywood and Highland. It is a great event if you like Italian food, if you like Italian music, if you like Italian culture. It is a celebration of all those things, and all of the proceeds go to a very worthwhile charity, the San Gennaro Foundation, which raises money for all kinds of charities. If you'd like to attend, it opens up tonight and Saturday and Sunday. It is the feastofla.org is the website, feastofla.org. And I went last night for their kickoff evening, and we had a blast. Jimmy Kimmel's down there. He says hi to everybody, and it was really, really a good time.
And it's Sunday on...
What?
How is that helpful, Kevin?
It wasn't helpful. It was a mistake.
I was hoping Tommy Lasorda would be there, because he's usually there, but he wasn't there. I think he was at AMCO. MCO. All right, let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? Shia LaBeouf's off the hook. There is not enough evidence to charge him with drunk driving for that accident that badly injured his hand. Los Angeles County District Attorney spokesperson said that insufficient evidence was found to charge Shia, and so he is off the hook. However, he still may be in trouble with the DMV. They have the right to suspend his license for not taking the breathalyzer test at the scene of the accident.
I didn't think they could do that.
Yeah, I didn't think you could get punished for that. I thought you could say no.
Right.
That's your right to not do it.
You have to go to a DMV hearing, and then they
put you in DMV jail?
I believe they do.
What the hell are they doing?
No, they just pull your license.
Huh.
Police said they arrested him because of his behavior. He showed signs of being impaired the morning of the crash, but he refused the breathalyzer test. The physical signs led to the arrest, but lack of any other evidence led them to drop the charges. So, good news for him.
Did he explain he was getting mysterious phone calls from a woman who told him to run the light? I mean, that's what he used.
That's what he used.
He said,
if I don't go through this red light, I'm going to die.
Jump.
Yeah, I have to. Yeah. I have to jump.
Just a movie.
Jump, Jerry Shaw. Jump now. Ah, this makes me sad because I love Jerry O'Connell so much. He's a good guy. Hollywood Reporter announces that Fox has pulled his comedy Do Not Disturb just after its third episode.
Ouch.
They will replace it next week with an additional episode of Till Death. So you get extra Till Death. So that's the upside. The network insists they haven't officially canceled the show, but let's just say it doesn't look good.
Yeah.
It doesn't look good for Do Not Disturb.
We're not surprised, but I think we're all with you that he's a good actor who deserves to find a better vehicle for his talents.
I wish him well. Clay Aiken made a few bucks off of saying to the world that he was gay on the cover of People magazine while holding his baby that he had with a 50-year-old woman.
Shocking the world with that announcement?
Shocking the world. He made in the neighborhood of $500,000 for the cover.
Why?
That's a lot of money. Considering especially that apparently OK Magazine, Us Weekly, Life and Style, and In Touch Weekly all passed on the opportunity to put Hollywood's newest baby daddy on the newsstands, so...
Hmm.
Wonder why people would pay that much.
I don't know. I mean, do you think people would look at that cover and go, what? I need to buy this.
Maybe the Clay Nation did. The Claymation Nation.
The ones that aren't over him because he's gay.
Yeah.
The ones that haven't turned their back on him because of the shocking
news. You
gotta
read that message
gay.
Board sometimes. It's spectacular.
What message board?
The Clay Aiken message board.
How would you even find that?
Well, I found it because someone sent me a link.
Clay Aiken message board.
But when you look at the responses of some of his female fans who are losing their minds.
Oh, please, God, let this be a nightmare and let me wake up.
That kind of stuff. It's very entertaining.
I read one from a woman who said, I can't be a Clay Aiken fan anymore. It's one of the most difficult and heart-wrenching days of my life, but I have to say goodbye. I enjoyed it. Thanks for the memories.
Those people are stupid. A, he's been way gay for a long time, his whole life, pretty much.
Yeah.
How dare you.
And B, how does it make his music any better or any worse?
Doesn't.
Those people are stupid.
Doesn't. Ah. Samantha Ronson is rubbing off on Lindsay Lohan.
Oh.
Whoa.
Yeah, now we're getting somewhere.
No, I mean she's influencing her.
Oh, okay.
Have you seen the new photos of the two of them at Disneyland?
No. She's not ugly enough,
Lohan
is she?
Lindsay is catching lesbian.
No.
Yes.
The salute to tuna.
No. But she's a lipstick lesbian.
She used to be.
Come on.
You see in this photo, you see them standing side by side at Disneyland for their Halloween celebration. And Lindsay is wearing a long sleeve flannel shirt.
Oh, no.
A wife beater t-shirt and is holding a pumpkin.
Oh, no.
Sam is wearing the same outfit, flannel shirt, tank top, jeans.
I guess if they want to look alike, it's easier to ugly up Lindsay than it is to pretty up Samantha.
I suppose that's true.
That don't sound sexy.
Don't make me any happier.
Yeah, wow.
And Vanessa Minnillo.
Oh, yeah.
Says she has big dreams.
And cans.
And cans. The girlfriend of Nick Lachey told In Touch Weekly magazine that she wants to be a mother one day and an actress, just like Julia Roberts, and she wants to win an Oscar.
Well, how about that?
Well, there you go.
And I want world peace as well while we're at it.
Wish granted.
Yeah. Giant size cans.
Yeah, I hate to tell you, Vanessa, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
The mother part, probably. The Oscar part, maybe not so much.
Probably not.
Although you got to look at someone like Jennifer Hudson, who comes out of nowhere to win an Academy Award, and think it's crazy, but it does happen.
Yeah, but not to us, not to you.
She's black. Blacks get everything. You know what I'm saying?
No, I know.
It's so hard being a white person in America because, you know, they just hand everything to the blacks, and the white man's got to work and work and work to overcome the prejudice in this country.
It is a tough life.
Where are the white winners of awards? Where are the white people winning Oscars? How come it's always the blacks? I'll tell you, it's hard to be a pimp.
Yeah. I think most of the winners are white.
Really?
Yeah.
I got to look into that.
Yeah.
Because if so, I just sound like a fool.
Yeah, you do.
I got to look that
maybe
up.
Maybe a bit.
Maybe there's some other.
We should look into that. Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Serena Williams, there. Black tennis star. Why are all the tennis stars black?
Why
all the greatest tennis players have always been black? How come the white people can't get into tennis? And golf. How come the white man can't make an Ian Rhodes into golf? Biggest golfer ever? Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
Black.
Yeah.
Why can't white guys go to country clubs and play golf?
I think the white guys are represented quite well.
So sick of this anti-white sentiment in this country.
Tell me your life wouldn't be better without the blacks.
Oh. Stand up, my white brothers. It's a protest.
I don't think the white man is being kept
We're out. White. We're right. Get used to it.
I don't think that works.
Yeah.
White man being kept down.
Not the case.
Look at this guy running for president. Black. Why do all the presidents have to be black?
All the presidents?
Yeah. How come we can't have a white guy run in America? How about that? I'm waiting for that day, my brother.
That's the way it's been for 200 years.
Really?
Yep, all white.
You think I would have noticed something like that?
All white.
Seems crazy.
Yeah.
Christina Milian is 27 years old today. Jim Caviezel, who played Jesus Christ in The Passions of the Christ, he is 40 years old. Linda Hamilton turns 52 years old today. She from the Terminator movies. And Olivia Newton-John. Turns 60 years old. That has the faintest bell I've ever heard.
They want to overcommit.
We need a bell from the past is what we need.
We
Some
do.
Kind of a sound that goes, yes, hot, but not now.
We
but
need
then.
To go into the tube of history yes. and pull the bell from
she
the past.
She looks good for her age, but I know that's not a category that Kevin supports.
No. Once you hit 50, I think, is the cutoff. What's the cutoff time now?
Hot or not?
You move it. You move it sometimes.
It depends on the woman.
It's 2 years older than whatever Kevin is.
It depends on the woman.
You've never said there's a older woman who's been hot. You've never given the hot.
It's not.
It depends on the woman.
It is not hot or not. We put a picture of Helen Mirren on this screen right here.
Smoking hot in the bikini.
Looking hot as hell, and you're like, bleh.
She's old. Bleh.
She is not attractive. You people are high.
Because she's old.
Well, that's part of it, yeah.
Well, then,
and the other part of it is that she's not attractive.
What's the cutoff we want to know?
I don't know. It depends on the woman.
Come in Monday with a year. I want a number. All right. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
With a background of Muay Thai and boxing, please welcome the sensational young star of women's MMA from Las Vegas, Nevada. Introducing Gina Carano.
I personally am Muay Thai.
Why Muay Thai?
It's hardcore.
How have you been training for your upcoming Elite XC fight?
I try to get myself in the best physical condition for sure, but I believe it's mostly, you know, spiritually, mental, and then physical.
What's the most feminine thing about you?
My boobs.
Would you ever pose for Playboy?
No.
Gina should go for that choke. Is Ellinger going to survive? Gina, Conviction Carano.
Let's rethink the Playboy thing just for a second.
Yeah, don't jump to any conclusions.
Don't be
Gina,
so
come
quick
on.
To answer that question, Gina. Come on.
The CBS Elite XC Saturday Night Fights return. By the way, 1 week from tomorrow night, Saturday, October 4th, is when you can see Gina fight. It's going to be live, which is awesome, by the way. 6 o'clock on the West Coast, and it's a huge bill, and we'll get to some of the other fights on the bill in a minute. But first of all, Gina, how are you feeling looking a little bit more than a week out?
I'm feeling good. You know, I really wish the fight was tonight. I'm ready to go.
Yeah, that must suck, though, to be ready because, you know, it's not for another week and, you know, week and a day.
Yeah, so it's just pretty much internal torture until you can just get it out.
Yeah, it's got to be tough. I mean, all athletes run into this when they get to finally the big competition. I mean, you have to prepare mentally so that you're ready on the right day at the right hour to do what you need to do. I mean, if you're in the best condition of your life on Thursday, it's not going to help you.
Yeah. So, you know, and all I'm going through right now is just kind of like it's hard to talk to people. It's hard to like, you know, because you're – your BS meter is just so down that it's just like, you're ready to go.
Yeah.
Sure. Gina, for folks who maybe haven't followed you kind of the way we have on this show, tell people how you ended up being, you know, being a smart, pretty young woman, how you ended up in the world of MMA.
I don't know. I just kind of, I was always aggressive. I was always a tomboy. I don't think I was always pretty. I think I'm a late bloomer. I haven't even really focused on it yet. So.
Well, then let's not answer the Playboy question until you have had some time to consider
come to grips with it. Yeah.
Right.
I'm just saying. Okay, but, I mean, but what was your trail? How did you get there?
I've been in a couple fights after high school, and I don't know, I was a little overweight after I went to, you know, your freshman year of college, and I went from the gym, watched an ex-boyfriend train, and one of the Time Masters came up to me, and they're like, oh, baby, you know, you need to lose weight, and I was like,
nice.
Crap. Yeah, I was like, crap, you know, like, anybody else can tell you that, you know. Your dad could be like, hey, lose a couple of pounds, or your boyfriend could be like, you know, eat that.
Nope, so you would hate them as well, like, by the way.
But nope. What a Thai man that says that to you, he has no alternative except for maybe to let you, like, sign up for lessons and help you out with it, you know?
And is that when you started doing Muay Thai?
Yeah, Muay Thai about 5 years ago.
And is the thrill for you, I mean, is it just that you're super competitive, or do you love to watch girls cry? What is the draw for you?
I think the lifestyle that I get to live, you know, I get to travel and I get to fight and I get to, like, I don't know. I guess I can be kind of hot blooded. And so that, to just get that out, you know, and like go and beat up on something, occasionally, you know, or at the gym or get beat up on, like, it's just, it kind of keeps you in your place and just, you know, it just kind of feels good.
Who did you fight in the last fight? I can't remember. You submitted her, but you destroyed her before you submitted her.
My first submission was 2 fights ago when I fought Tanya Evinger, and then my last fight was against Caitlin Young, and there was a doctor's stoppage because her eye was about to pop.
Oh, yeah. Ouch. Have you been impressed with the quality of the women fighters that are getting into the ring? It seems like, you know, the longer a sport becomes popular, the more people get into it, the more you have to choose from, the better the training goes. I mean, it seems like every fight now is going to be a good fight against you.
Yeah. You know, the fights from here on out are just going to get tougher and tougher. And, you know, I like that, though, because it's like, let's get to it, you know. Let's get to it. Let's see who's out there. Let's fight them. Let's push myself now and see what I'm capable of, you know.
Are you still doing American Gladiators, or is that over for you?
There was a first and second season. I'm not really sure what they're going to do from there. I think NBC's still kind of deciding.
I got you.
So we'll see, but right now my focus is definitely fighting,
and
it always really has been. I just kind of did that to kind of play around and have some fun with my life, and I'm really glad I did. It was a lot of fun.
We're talking to Gina Carano, if you're just joining us on K-Rock, about the CBS Elite XC Saturday night fight, which is going to be a week from tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. It's going to be live. What a bill, by the way. In addition to your fight against Kelly Cobalt, I guess the headliner fight in this one is Ken Shamrock versus Kimbo Slice. Now, do you run at all in the same circles as those guys? Do you train near each other, anything like that? I mean, do you have any idea what's going on with that fight?
No, I don't run in the same circle, but I don't know. I just love Kimbo to death. I think that he's, me and him have a lot in common, you know. Like just seeing him at a fight and seeing his face, I'm just like, yes, Kimbo's here, because he calms me down a little bit, because I know that what I'm going through, he's going through, in the way of, like, you know, we're both very popular, and, you know, people are looking at us and have a lot of expectations on us, but at the same time, we're just still trying to, like, you know, fight, and you're never guaranteed the next fight, you know, so.
Somebody needs some anger management, by the way. Sounds like. You know what you need to do, though, Gene? I know that you respect them and everything, but after you win the fight next Saturday night, I think that you should start shouting, I want Kimbo Slice! I want him next!
I don't think so. He'll probably just sit on me.
Gina, we're almost out of time. It's awesome to have you on. Would you recommend the world of MMA to young women who might be listening to this show right now?
Absolutely, but not for the wrong reasons, you know. Like, if you're physical and you need to get some aggression out, go in and, you know, try to take a couple classes, see how you like it. But I've found out that, like, a lot of girls that talk a big game don't really like getting hit at all, you know. They kind of, like, put up that front because they're just so...
The tougher they sound.
Yeah. So, like, I don't know. Like, see if it's your thing, but don't do it for the wrong reasons, because going in the gym and getting the crap beat out of you every day is not something that you can really do without appreciating it and loving it, I guess, you know?
Yeah, you got to be pretty committed in order to get up and go back and do it all again the next day. I understand what you're saying. Well, it looks like a great lineup, and again, it's a week from tomorrow night on CBS, starting live at 6 p.m. Gina, I know you're going to be training all next week, getting ready for the fight. We thank you for coming on the Kevin Bean Show, and good luck in it, all right?
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Family Guy centers around a typical New England family.
You can't ask me to make dinner, Lois. It's like asking me to choose between Sarah Jessica Parker and Kirsten Dunst in a hot body weird face contest. It can't be done.
Yes, you have AIDS.
Not HIV, but full-blown AIDS.
Fat chicks need love, too, but they gotta pay.
I'm a bigger hit with the kids than Will Smith and his nice, clean rap.
Woo! I respect women when I'm on a date. I take them to the park or maybe a museum, and I only try to kiss them if they're ready. Woohoo!
Dress up or I'll do to you what I did to John Lennon.
John, have you met Yoko? Yoko, John?
They will clean.
Call fellatio a trouser-friendly kiss.
They may just be neurotic or possibly psychotic. They're the fellas at the freaking FCC.
On people, for God's sake.
Time to talk to Sam.
Now we don't have time.
The Family Guy returns for season number 6, if you can believe it, this Sunday night at 9 o'clock, and at 9:30, it's season number 4 of The American Dad, our comedy god, ladies and gentlemen, Seth MacFarlane, back on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Seth.
That was a beautifully cut together little montage.
How about that? You know, the only thing that was difficult was cutting out about 4 minutes of other good stuff. I mean, it was really...
I think you siphoned it down to the only stuff you really need to hear.
All right. Yeah. Well, we appreciate that. Seth, we have so many questions for you in such limited time. Let me start by this. As I said the word season 6 of Family Guy already, I find it hard to believe, but it really has been that long. What's it like for you looking at shows like King of the Hill in year 13, The Simpsons in year 200? Does it make you quake thinking about having to continue at the pace you've been on so far for that much longer?
In some ways, yeah, it does, and I don't know that we will go that long. I always felt like, you know, the sort of 9-10 season mark is usually when shows really start to go downhill. So I think we might. I don't know. I mean, both The Simpsons and King of the Hill have stayed very strong. So maybe we can go past them, but I don't know. I think I might have to drink poison if I go anywhere past 9 years.
You have to be at the point with these two shows on the air and then all the stuff you're doing online that we'll talk about in a second, then a third show debuting next year. I mean, you have to be already planning that vacation. Whenever it is you're going to be able to take it in 2018 or something, you ought to already be thinking about it.
Oh, yeah. No, it's an amazing corporate ladder process when I ask for a vacation. It has to – you know, it's a request that has to, you know, be handed to this guy, who hands it to that guy, who hands it to that guy, because it just affects, you know, it affects the whole schedule and affects the schedule of three shows.
I got to tell you, I personally, I don't care about your vacation as much as I do your good comedy. So I would rather that you just kept working.
I'll see what I can do.
If you don't mind. I mean, if that's okay with you.
Are you at the point now, Seth, as a national treasure where you're not allowed to travel without Secret Service protection? They don't allow you to start your own car. I mean, there's so much writing on you staying healthy and well. I would imagine they do everything they can to make sure you are.
there luckily isn't a whole lot of that. I'm sure maybe if I do a fourth show that'll happen. But, you know, for the moment, it's really no different than it was when we were sucking on the air.
Have you thought about taking your tens of millions of dollars and maybe going back home and just buying Rhode Island and naming yourself king?
Well, what a great idea.
Yeah.
Just an experimental state. Just
can you name yourself the king of a state?
If you own it, you can.
I'm sure probably – my hunch is maybe the National Guard would show up at some point and say,
Could be.
I can't do that.
But. Yeah. Here's what I love about Seth, by the way. We mentioned the Family Guy coming back this Sunday night. We mentioned American Dad coming back. Of course, the Cleveland spinoff show we'll be hearing about very soon. It's not like you didn't have enough going on, but now you're doing the cavalcade of cartoon comedy, which
Correct.
Is yeah. online exclusive stuff only. Now, is this stuff that you're creating just for that site, or is this stuff that got cut out of your other shows and you're just figuring out a place to use it?
No, this is stuff that was created specifically for the internet. It's kind of it's kind of an experiment. It's, you know, nobody has ever, to my knowledge, created you know, original content for the internet on a television budget, and that's what we did. The idea was to not skimp on anything and do it exactly the same way we would do it for air, and treat the internet like another television network.
Yeah, and we were watching that and thinking, the dude is already doing three shows full time. What the hell? Where does he get the energy to do stuff just for the internet?
Oh, my agent Ari thought it was a good idea.
Yeah. Ari does good work.
It is the kind of thing where, you know, anything that is sort of untried and experimental and could potentially fail miserably, mm-hmm. is something that always attracts me.
Sure. It's only 20 seconds long, so we do have time. I do want to play one of the clips on the Seth MacFarlane Cavalcade of Cartoon Comedy, which, again, is made exclusively for the web. And the reason I selected this clip is, A, it's very funny, but, B, our own Ralph Garman plays one of the police officers involved in the interrogation scene. And the title of it tells you everything you need to know. Here is why Bob Marley should not act as his own attorney. Listen up.
So, let me get this straight. Your defense is that you shot the sheriff, but you did not shoot the deputy. Jaw. But you did shoot the sheriff. Jaw. And you're admitting that. Jaw.
We don't need to get him on the deputy. If we prove he killed the sheriff, that's a life sentence right there.
Yeah, I'm not sure why he's defending himself on murder by confessing to a completely different murder.
I have this weird hunch he might be high.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen.
Ralph's in every week, practically, doing Family Guy.
Ralph is in all the time. Yeah, we try to pick him out every Sunday night when it comes on.
Hey, you're the only thing that's keeping Ralph alive. He would have committed actual suicide, not just career suicide, for being on the Kevin Bean Show all these years if it weren't for you, Seth.
He did the next best thing. He got married, dude.
You are the lifeline for Ralph. All right, real quick, Seth. 9 o'clock, Family Guy, Sunday night. What's going on with in the Griffin household?
It is basically Brian meets a girl that he really digs, and Cleveland ends up sleeping with her. And basically,
he's such a dog. And then American Dad, a very special birthday party happening this Sunday night at 9:30.
Yes, yeah. American Dad, by the way, just got picked up for its fifth season.
Fantastic.
And, yeah, pretty amazing, and has actually overtaken The Simpsons in the ratings on a weekly basis.
No kidding.
Which kind of blew our minds. I mean, that's a very hard thing to do.
Yeah, congratulations.
Cool show.
Well, so look out, man. Grading's going to have you killed, dude. Be careful.
I know. He could. He could have me off.
Tell us what happens in this American Dad.
Which one are they airing? You know,
this is
how well I'm breathing.
I think it's Roger's birthday.
Roger's birthday?
I believe so. I think it's Roger's birthday. 1600th birthday.
Yeah. The American Dad schedule for me is very jumbled up. It's not quite as regular as the Family Guy. So I need to get briefed because there are a few Roger episodes coming up.
All right,
well,
no worries.
You should watch this one because we hear it's very, very funny, Seth.
This is how I'm becoming Mr. Drummond when I can't tell you exactly what goes on in the season premiere of an episode of a show.
Yeah, you have a little too much going on, maybe.
I kind of do at the moment.
And so you were, and we were supposed to, by the way, not to mention that we were supposed to talk to you 2 hours ago. And
I was fast asleep, my friend.
And well, you made the right choice.
And your people couldn't find you, which we found funny. But
yeah, exactly.
Well, when you're making the kind of money Seth's making, you're waking up in a different house every morning. I mean, come on. What do you expect is going on? All right, Seth, always great to catch up with you. Continued success. We're very excited to have both of these shows back. And, of course, you're a loser, people, if you're not buying every single season of all these shows on DVD because you got to own them. It's not enough to have them, you know, on the TV. You got to own them. Seth, always great to catch up with you, dude. Thanks for coming on.
All right, thanks, you guys.
Hey, sorry, you must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
Sam Rockwell's new film is called Choke. That opens up everywhere today. We got passes for you to go see that. And a pair of tickets for the Off-Road Expo at the Fairplex in Pomona coming up on October 3rd through the 5th. That's what you get for being on Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew right now.
All right, let's start with Jeremy in La Palma. Good morning, Jeremy.
Hey, how's it going, Kevin and Bean? Lisa May.
Good, what it do?
Did any of you see The Office last night?
T-voted. I haven't seen it yet.
Yes, I saw it.
Yeah.
How great of a show was that?
Well, The Office is consistently an excellent show. You're never disappointed when you watch The Office. What particular about last night's show did you like?
Did any or whoever watched it, did you see Meredith's face about, like, I don't know, 20 minutes show?
Yes, this is weird. Now, Meredith is the character. She's the older lady who's the redhead. She's the drunk. She's always lifting her top. She's the one. For some reason on the show last night, her face looked like she was undergoing some sort of radiation treatment. It was almost falling off in some scenes, but then later in the show, it looked normal, and they never addressed it. Right, Jeremy?
That's exactly the point.
So her face was changing, but they never – it wasn't part of the plot?
They never said a word about it. Yeah, it was just so weird. I mean, I know you guys are going to catch up on it this weekend on the TiVo, but take a look at her face when they're doing one of the big weigh-ins. That was the episode last night. Look at her face. It looks like it's melting. I mean, it's really, like, creepy and scary, and I don't know if it was something that was going on in the actress's life in real life, and they just didn't want to address it or what was happening, but it is definitely a mystery, and I'm glad you called, Jeremy. Thank you.
Thank you for the call. Let's see. Let's go to Drew in downtown Los Angeles. Good morning, Drew.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
How about them boys in blue?
Oh!
How about them Dodgers?
Yo, Mike, I wanted to know if you watched the celebration afterwards.
Nope, I was sound asleep. Sorry.
Oh, man.
Big Dodgers fan, Mike.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. You're talking about the celebration. Didn't the Dodgers clinch the division because Arizona lost? That didn't even happen because they won a game, right?
No, as a matter of fact, we celebrated after losing the game last night.
Who cares? Who cares why you make the playoffs?
Well, I'm just saying it's not like everybody's together and playing, and it's the end of a game, and you know that's how you win to get into the playoffs. I mean, they weren't even at the park, I don't think, when the Diamondbacks lost. It catapulted the Dodgers into the playoffs. It's just funny to have it work that way.
Yeah, it was great, man. They were dressing all the rookies up in women's clothing and stuff like that at the celebration afterwards.
That's awesome. Awesome that they lost the game and then they're playing games and celebrating and popping champagne and everything else. That's awesome. Thank you, Drew, for the call.
They were popping more than champagne in the locker room. Guys dressing up as chicks.
How do you feel, Mike? I mean, it's, of course, the first step is always making the playoffs, but you feel pretty good about this team going deep?
No.
Okay.
To be honest, I don't.
Who are they facing? The Cubs?
Cubs are a much better baseball team. But in baseball,
anything can happen.
In baseball, especially,
That's why they play the games.
That is why they play the games. That's true. Matt in Long Beach. Good morning.
Morning. What it do, nephew?
What it do?
I left work this morning to go fill up my boss's car with gas and got into a car accident and totaled the whole front end of his car.
You totaled your boss's car?
Yep.
Awesome.
Have you already told him? Or do you need us to make a call?
They sent me home, and now I get to go back on Monday and talk to our supervisor.
Oh, dude. Sweet.
What kind of work is it that you have where you're driving your boss's car?
I work for a Cadillac dealership, and he had me go fill it up with gas this morning for the weekend.
How about that? That has got to hurt.
Yeah.
He made the right choice.
Yeah, it was a nice car, too.
Was it your fault, Matt?
Yeah.
It was your fault.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Maybe Hyundai is hiring.
Thank you for the call. All right. Do we have time to squeeze in one more? Is that all we got?
That's about all we got.
Okay. I want to thank all of our special guests on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, including our friend Seth MacFarlane for joining us. As you just heard, the return of the Family Guy and American Dad this Sunday night on Fox. By the way, Simpsons and King of the Hill also back. It's an all-animation block Sunday night on Fox, so it's pretty good stuff. Also, thanks to Gina Carano for joining us. The CBS Elite XC Saturday Night Fight is going to be a week from tomorrow, Saturday, October 4th at 6 on CBS, and thanks to our friend Petros Papadakis for joining us, too, with a breakdown on what went so horribly wrong for the USC Trojans last night. You can catch P along with our friend Money this afternoon on AM 570 starting at 3 o'clock.
Monday morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we have another Kevin and Bean Instant Request for you. We have somebody who's going to come into the studio and get a Megan Fox tattoo. As we continue with Let's Talk About Megan Fox, our runaway hit here at K-Rock.
How about that, by the way? I think that's a new trend that needs to get started here in the Southland. Let's get a lot of people with Megan Fox tattoos.
We are going to find the K-Rock listener who's been arrested the most. We're going to go on that search on Monday. And Harvey Levin will be here. Tell us about all the celebrity stuff that goes on over the weekend. So we'll see you on Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody.
And if you run into Psycho Mike this weekend, don't shake his hand.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
The best tonic is chronic.
Roll another one.
I don't still sound like a pothead, do I?
Just like the other one.
Smoke weed.
this one seems to be about to quit.
And I'm so hot,
and I need another hit.
Beautiful Cat Corbett up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock, including the latest from Beck called Gamma Ray, also some Green Day, Foo Fighters, Linkin Park, Rise Against, and more on the way from K-Rock.
Roll. Roll another one.
How much you selling that weed for, old man?
Just like the other one.
I'm really stoned. Sorry.
This one seems to be about to end.
Does smell pot.
I don't have another cent.
Are you high?
No.
Look at me with your bloodshot eyes and say that.
You know, I got some weed at work today. Y'all want to try that out?
Smoke weed every day.
Come in?
Not at all. Does it matter if I leave?
All right. Stop that. That's just ridiculous. Cut that. Enough of that. Boo. Get out. Get out. Get out of the DJ booth. That's enough.
Oh, come on. That's horrible. Ah. Ah. Damn. Oh. Oh, it's awful. So, well, okay. See you guys on Monday.
Let's get down and dirty. If you want to get down and dirty, come on. Don't start nothing. It won't be nothing. But you won't start something. It's sure enough. You can start it. I'll end it for you. So, there you have it.